Good morning. You're listening to Winning at Life, the weekly wrap with Gregory Ricks. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, the 401k and retirement authority.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Coming up on the show today, we have some updates on the pension situation going on in both California and Dallas. Gregory, the Dallas pension situation just got a little bit worse.
It could.
Here's the teaser. They may have to pay some of that money back, the pensioners. Anyway, details coming up on that, yeah.
Oh, that's not what you want to hear.
Yeah, you hear that, New Orleans firemen and policemen and public service workers? Oh, my goodness. We also have financial resolutions for the New Year's in 2017 to help build your wealth. We've got a lot of financial updates going on in the world of business, whatnot, but also if you have a financial situation and you're not sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. You can send us a message via the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. You can go to GregoryRicks.com, a little chat window pops up, and you can put in your message there. There's a thousand ways to get a hold of us, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. We'll get you an answer, and we'll get it before we shut down by 1 o'clock, if you can get it to us soon enough. Well, Gregory, Happy New Year. First off, we haven't been live on Saturday for, what, two weeks now? That's the
2 weeks, yeah. That's seems like a long stretch. I'm sure we've done it before. I just don't remember.
Last New Year's and Christmas was the last time we had 2 weeks off in a row.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just didn't know if we had done that two consecutive weeks ever. It's rare in the 6.5 years we've been doing this show.
Well, and that may change next year because Christmas and New Year's isn't going to be on a weekend anymore. So we may just go ahead and do both Saturday shows next year.
Yeah, the eve is on a Sunday. So
why not? The 23rd? I'll work on the 23rd and the 30th. Not that big of a deal. And so the news is just cracking me up here. We're not even into the financially fun stuff yet, but I can't wait. They're having all kinds of problems before he's even sworn in. And then immediately when he's sworn in, we're going to have a ticking time bomb, basically. We got 6 weeks until the money runs out for the debt ceiling. And that's not even first order of business. They're like, wait a second, it's not the last minute yet, right? Okay, well, we don't have to deal with the debt.
And then all these executive orders, there's a clock on reversing them, I understand. Some 60 days that makes it easy to undo those. So what I was told is they're going to start with the ones that are closest to the 60 days and then start working through unwinding those.
Can't you just do a blanket executive order? I repeal all executive orders for the last whatever 100 years.
I guess he could rush through it. Maybe they're wanting to do some due diligence, work through it. I think some of that's done. And look, we don't know this weird system they have up there or what has been figured out on the executive orders. But it's obviously going to take a little bit of time. Is a lot of this done to be a distraction that he can't focus on the Obamacare, the taxes and such? Probably not. That has to do a lot with Congress anyhow. Have to get Congress on board. He may be at the Hill in his first 100 days more than President Obama was during his 8 years.
Now, what was your statistic on that? I find this hard to believe.
14 times. I do not know if that includes the, what is it, State of the Union message, but we're going to find out.
That's so bizarre. So you're saying Barack Obama only went to the Hill on business 14 times in his 8 years.
Yeah. I guess he had them come there, whoever it is he wanted to talk to, which probably wasn't many. But just like we talked about on the Daily Wrap the other day, you know, it's just hard to believe your leader of one of the most powerful countries, a leadership country on the planet, and your head of your party, and of course you're kind of short on Democrats, so you want to work with some Republicans. And if you're going to get something done or wants to do something, I would think you'd be going down there, showing up, taking some time. You think they're going to deny the president a meeting? You know, you think about it, you'd kind of get butts moving. You know, like CEO going down to the plant at Ford. Well, I'm going to take a walk through and start talking to managers and stuff. Let's see what's going on. What's the problem? Is everybody happy and getting this stuff done right? Go to the engineering department. Where's that new car that's supposed to be all that? You know, start thinking about it. Getting involved. Get down to where the people are.
Well, have you been to D.C.? Have you seen the National Mall? Like, physically, have you stood there and looked around?
Yeah.
Because it's so close. It's walking distance from the White House to the Capitol. But plus, the proximity. You're so close. You would think that maybe he would just stop off there a couple times to go to the bathroom on his way to Olive Garden or something. Or maybe go meet a buddy for lunch. Or just, I would be hanging out there. I'd be there more than 14 times in the first year just because I would think it's cool. You know, and I would want to go in the Congress. I would want to sit up in the galleries and watch what's going on. He only had, you know, a very truncated 2 years in his first term as senator to actually soak it all in. So he's still sort of a neophyte to the scene. He just didn't seem very interested.
No, he wanted to. He didn't think he needed Congress. Didn't want Congress. Congress was a hindrance. Still is to him. His remaining few days, 2 weeks now that he has left.
Yeah, he's exactly down to 2 weeks.
So, yeah, that's a hindrance to him, and that's why he loved the executive orders. Anything that he could do that way, that's what he was about, versus going down there, you know, talking to the congressmen, motivating them, let's get together, let's get this done, let's go across the aisle, who can we grab help from there? You know, just thinking of that position as president. Well, it's obvious he didn't get along with Congress, even his party. He sure didn't rally them very well in the election, and we know he didn't get along well with a lot of world leaders as well.
Well, and as much as we're harping on this, I think we may miss this guy after a year or two of Donald Trump, because he's going to go the other polar extreme, and this guy has a comment on everything.
Yeah, and exactly. You know, not just to pick on Obama's side, but Trump, we still don't know really what we're going to get, except I think he has a mindset to attempt to change a lot of things. Undoing Obamacare is probably going to be a mess, but it looks like it's going to get completely undone, as well as there's other stuff I think should be undone. This health insurance is a mess when they switched it over. This is probably going to be messy on the redo of it. Then we got the debt thing. That's a first big test. And we talked about last night is there's almost $10 million on the books in debt headed that way, along with cutting taxes, increasing spending.
$10 trillion, you mean?
Yeah, that's what I meant. $10 trillion. I don't know how many boatloads of money that is, but it's a lot of them. I don't think we have enough boats to even move that amount of money. But with that said, it's a lot. And it's almost nothing we can do about it with how the system's in place.
And it's funny that in the face of all that, you have the Dow Jones finishing at its all-time historic high yesterday. You have the NASDAQ and S&P right up there in historic highs as well. And you have the volatility index, the fear index, scraping down toward all-time lows there. It's at 1132. So Congress's chaos and the White House's chaos doesn't seem to be spooking Wall Street very much. In fact, just the opposite. They're almost looking forward to the chaos. Like, good, let's repeal some of this. Let's deregulate a little bit. I think they're more excited about the repeal of Dodd-Frank than Obamacare, and rightfully so. I'm more excited about the repeal of Dodd-Frank than Obamacare. But
Department of Labor overtime rule, what they were doing regarding exempt employees, I think that's been halted by the courts. And I was reading yesterday where the Department of Labor fiduciary rule, a congressman filed a bill yesterday to put a 2-year hold on that till they can figure out what's going on.
Man, if they can put a hold on it, why not just repeal it? Because this is a court.
Well,
move.
The first off is to try to get a pause on it so then it can be reevaluated. And I think that's what they're trying to do on that process, is just put a hold, and then it's a whole nother process to undo it, I would believe.
All right, so that's the setup we have for walking into 2017. I feel pretty good about 2017. You know, I think we're going to have a pause and a correction I mean, a full-blown correction in the stock market, but that's not going to necessarily be a bad thing because stocks are overvalued. They shouldn't be this high. They've been artificially buoyed by the ultra-low interest rates, and you have to go there to get yield.
Yeah, it's that greedy time. Just money's in, the euphoria. What was Greenspan's exuberance?
Irrational exuberance.
Irrational exuberance. I bet you could make a case for that, and I just think... Gosh, we're really close. We had gotten, what, almost 3 points. This was a little less than 3 points from 2,000 yesterday.
20,000.
So, 20,000. I'm dropping numbers today. Missing zeros. So, and then it backed off at the end of the day. But, yeah, it could happen on Monday. And then you might see the VIX go down a little bit. More, but we looked over the past year, that VIX, that's the lowest number in the past 12 months. Did I find one last night that was lower? It wouldn't have only been but by a couple of pennies.
Right.
Anyhow, that is really a low point. And you pointed out, you know, my concern is buying it and having to hold the VIXY, for example, is the ETF, hold it for 90 days. But if it hangs around here and we get into that in 6 weeks, so you're kind of maybe talking about 60 days, you could really see a pop in that when you're looking at the chart. The longest period to see a pop's about 90 days. And gosh, that's kind of a stretch. I hate that long a period on the VIX. But might be an opportunity for you, James. I know you've been excited about the VIX.
Yeah, and I get excited about the VIX, but I also have stuck in the back of my head all these other little experiments that have failed horribly on winning at life over the last 6.5 years, and I don't want this to be the next huge embarrassing failure in front of 30,000 listeners. That's embarrassing.
Well, it'd be like your orange juice futures in this example. Lost pretty bad, but if you were looking at a chart and says, well, look, it always spikes up after about 90 days, you would just have to hold on through that period.
All right, we got some good client stories coming up. We have some financial resolutions for 2017. And if you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back. This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. We do this every Saturday from 10 to 1. Phone number is 504-260-0995. Email gregory@gregoryricks.com. Do as so many have done. If you don't have the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, go to your app store, do a download. Something I've noticed about the download, they come at all hours. Had one at 1:45, one at 3:45, just throughout the day. It's crazy on how that goes. But we have people connect to the show. You go to the Winning at Life tab, and you can message the show. Let's see what else. We got the email, the website's gregoryricks.com. So if you have a financial situation looking for a little bit of help, might be that mutual fund. That A share, like trying to figure out, why is that costing me so much? What's the difference between a fixed annuity, variable annuity? Might be I have to make a decision on a lump sum regarding the pension. I guess it's end of year, beginning of year time. We get a lot of this where people are thinking about retiring and what to do, which do they take, the pension, or do they take the lump sum, or had a discussion the other day about splitting one. We're here for you, 504-260-0995.
All right, did you set any New Year's resolutions, Gregory, for 2017?
No, not really.
And I'm not real big on that either.
One thing that's been on my mind is getting in better shape. I'd like to lose 10 to 15 pounds. But that's not something I thought, oh, well, it's a new year. Let me go on a diet. Let me lose some weight. I've been mentally working on that for months. So it's just, I'm still in that process. So that's not something new, like woke up. Oh, I'm going to do this for the new year.
You know what the problem with that is, though? It takes work, and exercise is not fun, and it kind of hurts when you go jogging for a long time, and then you want to eat that whole pizza, but you can't eat pizza at all, so you got to go eat like a kale and baby spinach salad. That's what makes it so tough. It's just not fun.
No, it's not fun. Not from my standpoint. It is work, and it takes time, and for me, it's going to come in the early part of the day, meaning probably getting up earlier or getting going when I get up. No relaxing, reading the paper. It's kind of more focused about getting moving. But one of the things I'm going to try to do is get a couple pieces of equipment at the house, because when I start, and you know how tight my schedule is, so when we start talking about time, getting ready, go to the gym, work out, come back, and get dressed. You know, I've already burned an hour, and if I have a couple pieces of equipment, what I'm trying to do is get 15 minutes in. Then it becomes, I think, a lot easier. So we're going to see how that goes. I'll update you sometime this year.
You know what? That will work. On the back patio, I have a weight bench, and I have a couple sets of dumbbells. And if it wasn't for that, I would get nothing in.
So how did that workout on the back porch go this morning?
Oh, there was no workout on the back porch this morning, that's for sure. Oh my god, I was bundled up like Nanook from the north just to make it from my front door to the truck this morning, and that's only about 20 yards. No, I can't handle this cold.
Did you have pipes wrapped and everything this morning?
No, we only have one or two exposed pipes on the outside of the house.
Oh, I have a few, but I didn't do that. But then I did get up and get out there and check on everything once I saw there was some ice. So everything looked fine, but I think we're going to be a bit colder tonight.
Yes.
So, yeah, I've got some work to do this afternoon.
All right. We'll continue with some financial New Year's resolutions coming up in just a little bit. Wanted to whet your appetite there. Now, you told an incredible pension story. A client came in, and it was pension versus lump sum buyout. Before you tell that story, though, I want to talk about this other pension situation, because I just saw it this morning. WFAA in Dallas is reporting that some of the Dallas police and firemen may have to pay back some of the pension funds that they've already taken. Now,
and you're talking about the drop money.
Well, let's go through the article here.
Okay.
Because the first two words in the article, Gregory Ricks, are Bernie Madoff. That's how they started this. Bernie Madoff. It's a name now often bandied about when talking about the failing Dallas Police and Fire Pension Fund. The reality is that it's kind of a Bernie Madoff type scheme, says Lee Kleinman, the city council member, former pension board trustee. Well, dude, you were a trustee. Excuse me. The city's agreed to throw in a bunch of money over the next 30 years, but it's not going to make up the shortfall. Now they are talking about making them put back police and firemen. The deferred option retirement accounts or drop plans, deferred retirement options, something rather.
That's
what does
they
it stand
were...
for? What does drop stand for? Sorry to ask you, Ryan.
It's a program where the last 3 years you're working there for the State Department, whichever it is you're working, like the police and firemen of Dallas, we have it here in this state for police, troopers, teachers, and such. Last 3 years of what was going to be contributed to the retirement plan can be put into what's called a drop account, where it's put to work. But at the end of 3 years, or when you retire at the end of that 3 years, because generally you're doing it because you're about to retire. So you get that 3 years in, you build up a cash account, so to speak, and you can roll that over to an IRA. You can take different distributions from it. It can become part of your pension, but it's an option to build up some money that you can take and move outside the plan elsewhere and put to work or take the money from it. So it's very popular. And then what we had talked about weeks ago when we covered this, it turns out of how bad a shape that pension fund is in, better than half of the pension fund is made up of drop money. So these people have a right to take it the way the plan's built, but they had to put a stop to all that because then they wouldn't have money to pay out the pensions.
All right. So they have a few different proposals they're thinking about rolling them into one, or just taking like sort of a cafeteria style. Well, I like that solution, but not that one. We'll take this one. Okay, one of the complaints that has been brought up in these issues here, and pay very close attention here in New Orleans and Louisiana, because we're having similar issues, and they're setting precedent for a lot of these other big cities to follow. One of the proposals or one of the complaints is that for the drop money that was put in, they gave them that 7-point-something% guaranteed return on it. And they look around there, and the point was made that other big cities didn't do that. There's other municipalities that if you put in drop funds, they wouldn't give you a guaranteed return. Some of them wouldn't give you any return whatsoever.
Were they doing that because they needed the money kept in there? I just don't know how they came up on the shortfall on the actual pension side for it to be so underfunded. But I still don't understand where they got the 7.2. Is that what it was? 7.2?
Yeah, that was just
a 7% guaranteed return. That's doubling money just about every 10 years. And so what were they using to generate that return to pay to them?
It sounds almost exactly like what's going on in New Orleans. They're investing in, you know, like in New Orleans when they bought the golf course and they bought the water park and they bought some other property over
making
here.
Making assumptions.
Yes. Well, they did a lot of those those bad plans with the drop money, too. And the real estate holdings were the worst. So when there was the real estate crash, you know, 2007, 8, 9, still wasn't that pretty in 2010, even though Dallas didn't get hit nearly as hard as some municipalities, there were years when the drop plan actually lost money and went negative on their return for the year, but they promised the droppers that 7.25% interest. So, I mean, the gulf kept getting bigger and bigger exponentially because the real money was going down, the promised money's going up.
Well, you know, that's what I hear about the pension system and the drop program in this state because of the returns. People will say, well, no, I don't want to roll it over. The returns are really good.
Right.
And they are. So then it makes you wonder, is it really that good?
Not in real life. On paper, it's that good. But here's the lesson learned. One of the proposals here, and this is the one that may pass. I don't know what they're going to tag onto it, but they are going to go back in time and they are going to reset those equity tables at zero. Whatever interest that you earned in your drop money in 2007, 2008, 2000, up through today, they're taking that 7.25% back and they're going to recalculate it as zero. And your fund's going from the future. So if you made money in 2007 and then you got interest on it again in 2008, you know how it compounded up?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go reset and redo all the math. And it's sort of like a clawback. However, if you already took that money out, That interest that they're reclaiming, you have to physically pay that back.
So they're not trying to take back their principal that they built up. They're just wanting back some of that overpaid interest.
Yes, that's where it starts. But remember, they've had a run on their drop plan since August when a report
where
came
they
out.
Put a stop to
and
that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who went out and they took all their money out. All that money that they took out that came from interest over the last almost 10 years. This proposal is going to make them pay that back.
What would you have done? Would you have taken it when you heard there's problems?
In a second.
Yeah.
I'd have been the first one in line. You couldn't have beat me there.
Yeah, with what when we first reported this, it was a ridiculous amount that they froze. It was fixing to whack the plan really hard and you could see why if half the money's made up of drop, and it shouldn't have been. When you think about it overall, it should have just been, what, 15, 20%?
Yeah.
Because properly funded of drop money, and that's no big deal, and it all doesn't get taken out, but then there wouldn't have been a run on it either if it was all done right.
Well, of course, the retirees are going to sue, and we'll have to wait to see how that court case divvies out, but this kind of makes...
If there's no money...
Well, doesn't this kind of make you change your thinking on drops around
here?
There
is no working out if there's not enough money.
Right. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Everything that kills me makes me feel alive.
We'll be good.
Welcome back. Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. This is where we kind of talk about everything this whole week that went by and whatever else comes up on our mind. You know, it just can be that one thought sets me off or that one caller. And you can participate. This is live radio. Full participation. We're on Facebook Live is up.
Facebook Live's up. Periscope wasn't doing the audio, so I'm going to switch phones and try it on this other phone.
Maybe I should have brought... Well, I've got to probably start bringing that other one we tested last night as well.
Hey, I've got four phones. I can get one of these to work.
Okay. Well, we have the gadgets here, the gadget show. A lot of stuff. There's something else we're about to roll out. Basically, it'll be a go-to webinar. We're going through an onboarding on how to make that work with the show next week, and I've kind of been promising it a while, but now I'm going to tell you what it is. And one of the interactions on that is where you could basically register, and I think we've got it set up where it can be a one-time registration, and you can reuse that link to join the show, see charts, and you'll even have a view if you want. But the core to it is a lot of times we're talking about charts or articles and stuff, and you can just log in and connect to the show that way. On your end, you could use a whole bunch of gadgets. You could use your radio. You could use the stream from your phone. You could also jump on Periscope or Facebook Live.
Yeah, and the term I like to use is this: we are medium agnostic. We don't care how you listen to the show or how you get to it. We're not preferential toward the radio feed or iHeartRadio or Periscope or Facebook Live or the Gregory Rixon Associates app. It's just they all count the same to us.
Yeah, is giving you a way to view and join us and interact with the show. So ultimately, it looks like we're getting to about five different ways to connect by and view as well as listen to the show. But if you'd like to participate today, it's 504-260-0995.
All right, real quick before your pension story, one other pension update. And this is a big blow to the California unions. A second court has now ruled that pension benefits can be reduced. We had talked about this not too long ago, and a second court backed it up because the unions took it to appeal. So now it's happening. There's a couple of things we've learned here from the precedents from different pension issues that could affect what's going on in Louisiana and Mississippi's in similar situations with their public pensions. Believe it or not, a public pension that's underfunded. So they can go back and reduce your benefits below what was promised to you. And it's legal. Courts have upheld it twice in California. So if it's going to stand in California, it'll happen anywhere.
Well, we've talked about that one recently, too, where the state's underfunded, but municipalities can withdraw from it, and which that means the pension's probably being cut for that reason. But if the municipality has underfunded their premiums to the state program, then it's a double whack. We were talking about some members of that program over there, and they were taking what 50-60% cuts.
The CalPERS, right?
Yeah,
the CalPERS pension fund. Nasty stuff, which sort of factors in when someone comes in and they're asking about taking the check or taking the lump sum. I mean, is the guy you're getting advice from? I don't know if it's your brother-in-law or you have some other financial professional who thinks he's giving you advice. Is he considering all these things? Is he keeping track of what they're doing with pension funds and California and in Dallas and in Chicago? And
but it's scary for state employees because what I see mostly is there's not a lot of money outside of it. They work for the state, they work for the parish, connected to the state program, and they just don't necessarily save a lot outside of that. Might have to do with income levels in those positions, but not a lot of extra savings. So, and they spend that 30 years there, 25, whatever the years, 40, and they think, okay, I'm set. I'm calling it a day. I'm getting this $2,500 a month forever. And then it changes, just like in California. Probably going to change in Dallas.
That's going to
probably
hurt.
Can be in effect here as well. Because if there's not enough money to pay out, you just can't keep doing it from thin air. Federal government's the only one that can print money, unless they pass some law.
Well, I
set
like
up printing presses in different states.
They have their own currency now. Yeah, like I want a Los Angeles dollar. But the courts have ruled this is the important wordage here. A pension, the right to a pension, is not an immutable entitlement to the most optimal formula of calculating the pension. I love
life,
that verbiage.
Liberty and the pursuit of pensions.
Yeah, not the guarantee you're going to get it. But
it's not in the Constitution.
But that seems like such an easy paradox to solve. However, I wouldn't be surprised if government or a judge got it wrong. You can promise pensioners the world. If we can't deliver, you have to cut pensions. Like it's sort of like a law of physics. You can't just create
like
this money from nowhere.
We're going to build that fence and Mexico's going to pay for it.
Well,
just see how that language has changed.
Sure.
Couple of days.
They may pay for it
we
after
have
the fact.
To expedite it, so we're probably going to pay up front that we're going to get it back from them.
Which, close enough, but that's not exactly the wording he used on the campaign trail, is it?
No, and I completely get that, but there was no fine print, no disclaimers, no disclosures as, hey, we're going to build a fence, and they're going to pay for it. Well, if it ends up, he gets that done in 4 years, gets the fence built, and extracts the money from them. I don't know. A lot of ways could be do it. It might be $1,000 feet across that fence. That money will pile up fast, but those people don't have money to pay a fee to come across.
No, but putting a remittance tax on there, that'll pay for it, and they will do that. They'll still go to Western Union or the grocery store or whatever and send money back to their home country, and we'll skim that. That's the way that makes most sense to me.
Yeah, and there could be a fence fee on those Toyotas coming across.
Right, a fence fee. That's what he should call it.
Simple as that.
All right, hey, tell your pension versus lump sum story.
How much time we got? We got plenty of time.
Because this
that.
Is rare air here. I've never heard of a guy being able to take, I'll take half the lump sum and half the check.
Yeah, and that's what he came in talking about. And it's at that core discussion of lump sum versus taking the monthly pension. And one of the reasons they think about taking the lump sum is the pension might get cut later. It might stop. Taking the money, they feel ownership, control, that at least I have my money and I know I can generate income from it. Well, a gentleman came in and he was talking about taking some of the lump sum and taking some of the pension. So basically he was looking at splitting. I think we're talking about $500,000, $500,000. And he was looking to take half in a lump sum, $250,000 of it, and the other $250,000 was going to be through the pension, and I think he was going to get about $1,400 a month from it. So I'm thinking that's kind of somewhere around 6.5% income stream from it. And then we talked about the industry that the company's in, because one of the points we want to get to is, did you check to see if the pension is funded? He said, actually, I did a few days ago. I went and looked into it, and he said it's actually overfunded. And I said, well, one of the things about pensions is they're going away. New employees won't be able to get involved in them at some point because of the liability and having to keep it funded. He said, well, that's already happened. Because what I had drawn when I started talking about that on the paper is a upside-down pyramid. You know, and that's what we've talked about here with the New Orleans firemen's is less are going in and you've got more drawing out of it. And if it's overfunded, that's an acceleration of the spend down of assets inside the pension. So I said, this changes everything because the company he works for, this industry's been around better than 100 years. These companies are solid. You don't have them getting in trouble. And for the pension to be overfunded, and it's just like, you know what, and they're going to be fine financially going forward. And I suggested that $500,000, $2,800 a month from the pension is solid money. And outside of that, it's not like we see a lot of state retirees have a pension and they don't save much. He had neighborhood of another $800,000 outside of that lump sum and pension. And with Social Security, he pretty much hits his need of income. So from assets, he might only be needing to generate another $1,000 to $1,500 a month. So he might be on a 3% or less stream from assets. It really works good in that case for him to not take the lump sum.
We'll continue in just a second. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back. Winning at Life. The weekly wrap. We do the daily wrap, 7 o'clock every evening. Same place. Always on the stream if we're preempted. Love the stream. That's a big change for us in technology. You know, when we started doing the show 6.5 years ago, did we have the stream?
We had, you had to go to WRNO.com and listen live on the stream through the website.
And it's at some point.
Then iHeartRadio, the app popped up after we've been doing the show for about 2 years. And now it's just it keeps going from there.
And then last year when we started doing the daily wrap at 7 o'clock weekdays, actually that turned into be a priority for us contract wise. And such, because of our national audience that listens to us through the stream. And we negotiated that part of the deal, that the stream was a high priority. I might get bent out of shape to mess with my stream.
And now it's like, which stream? Because we're on the iHeartRadio app. I see someone's pumping yellow hearts over there on your Periscope feed. Facebook Live's under that.
Yeah, that's, I kind of give that much as importance, and I know you do. It's a big deal, and what happens is every month it grows, and it's just like where we added in the app. That's really important, of people being able to connect to us, to connect to the stream as well. Just want to mention, in the next hour, we have the ladies from Dwell Nola Realty joining us. Tracy and Stephanie of Dwell Nola Realty.
Yeah, so real estate folks, or you house hunting, you buying a house, you like flipping houses, you remodel houses, you invest in properties, any of that good stuff, residential, commercial, they'll be in for a whole hour.
What was that main topic we covered last week? We had this list that we had. It took us all week to get through it. We got to the estate planning last night.
Oh, that was the financial resolutions for 2017.
Yeah, that was a great topic.
Yeah, well, and I like poking holes in other people's articles here, because I feel like I've reached a level of expertise just enough by hanging out with you for 7 years that some of this, I can argue with some of these guys, whether they're in USA Today or Business Insiders or CNN Money or Fox Business. It's some of these guys, I'm like, nah, that doesn't sound right. I need to ask Gregory about that. Or I know that's wrong because we did a whole show about that, or they're leaving out this part. Yeah, that's always fun stuff. Hey, back to that pension story. How many pensions, because this sounds like it's pretty rare, how many pensions give you the option of splitting it up and taking either the lump sum or the pension check or a mix of the two?
Look, it could be more, but we don't necessarily have clients come in and say this, and on paperwork I've not seen that. So it could be available more, but it's not something we talk about in that way. It's kind of either or. And we probably have people take lump sums more, even though I may recommend them take the monthly pension check. And it's control of those overall assets. But sometimes it's just, you know, they're not giving you enough on that. You know, and to undo that, I think that lump sum, you know, it's 6.5% payout based upon the lump sum when you run the numbers. To me, that's underfunding the lump sum. You know, if you were given $650,000, it brings that percentage number down, and they could go to the marketplace and get equivalent income from the assets, but it's almost forcing us. Just how do you turn down a 6.5% stream off of 500,000? And a listener's responding, well, because I get the lump sum. That's how I can turn it down. But what if your pension's 110% funded on a company that's been around more than 100 years and is highly unlikely to have problems? Let's see. You want me to tell you the industry?
Oil.
Insurance.
Oh, I would have guessed oil. I was thinking oil this whole time. I was thinking this must be like an Exxon or a Shell or something like that.
Yeah, have they been around 100 years? Quite a long time, though. That's right, but not as long as insurance companies.
Well, that makes sense that their pensions would not be underfunded because that's the business they're in.
The business that they're in.
That helps.
They don't have trouble getting revenue. Saudi Arabia is not going to do something that affects their business, cutting prices, slashing.
Yeah, that's another advantage, right?
You know, and they have a lot of competition, and there's plenty of business to go around, and they have a lot of rules that govern that. And yeah, it's overfunded. So how would you, like, oh, I'm so fearful of my insurance company going under. They're always going under. Not. You just tell me when you tell me an insurance company. I know we got malls closing, Macy's dialing it back, Sears, and that's a whole nother story we can talk about in the third hour. But you know what is Macy's, Sears, Kmart? You know, it's serious. That makes it a difficult choice.
Schwagman's.
Now, yeah. What was that? KNB? Are they? That was sold to CVS, wasn't it?
Rite Aid.
Rite Aid, yeah. So they ain't here no more either, along with Swagman's and a bunch of others. So when you start thinking about that pension, part of it is the funding of it. And how does the industry do? Can you see that industry here 30 more years? That's what you think about pension. You're at 60, 62, 65. I'm thinking about taking the pension, and it should be 100% spousal. Oh, I have a lump sum. Well, that changes things. Well, if you're trying to make that decision, do you see your company around in 30 years? Let's see. Radio Shack is one that probably is barely hanging on. I consider them done. But, you know, it's a bunch of newspaper, Times-Picayune.
Whew. They're not going to look
like
they're
still delivering
now.
A few days a week, but it's not the same business model that it was in the 60s. We can look at car companies that are no longer around. The multi-state pension program, which is basically, I believe, part of Teamsters. A lot of it's truck drivers and such, and their pension's in trouble because that's underfunded. And then the federal corporation that handles pensions that go bad doesn't even want to take that one on.
The PBFB or something?
So this is really tough decisions when it comes down to it, but there is reasons to take it. Now, oil companies, could we see them go away in 30 years?
No way.
I just think those reserves are going to be, can the company kind of get reshaped? Yes. Can they change how they do it for future employees? Yes, and probably will or are in the process. Most of them have altered it, but to have the funding, yeah. There's plenty of money going forward. They're just going through a tough time, but we have seen oil prices move up. But I would question more if it was an oil company pension than if it was one of the majors in the insurance business. See, and we're not talking about property and casualty divisions. So just some thoughts there on how to look at this. And it's just not simply come down and show the numbers or, yeah, I'll take the lump sum. I can tell you, I probably suggest taking the monthly pension more often than the lump sum.
Would you end up with the guy we were talking about in the last segment who was splitting his time there?
I think he's leaning towards taking the 100%. As far as that meeting ended up, he's not going to take the lump sum. He's properly funded overall. He's in a great shape. His numbers are good. His needs are covered easily, not having to lean much on assets. Where the assets are going to pick up is when he has to start taking required minimum distributions at 70.5.
Okay, coming up in the last hour, we're going to do the financial resolutions for 2017. And we're also going to talk about Sears on its way out. If you want to bring that up, that's fine. Coming up in the next hour, the ladies from the Dwell Nola Realty, dwellnola.com, are going to be in to talk about the real estate world and give us some updates there. Did you see what else is at its new all-time high, Gregory? Bitcoin. Bitcoin is also getting a bit of a nod from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange because it is going to have two Bitcoin indexes that will compare the price of Bitcoin and gold on a daily basis. Now, this isn't the stability we're looking for, but it hasn't collapsed. It hasn't gone away. It's strengthening. It's becoming more popular. And I think the symbolism of it being listed on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange gives it a sense of mainstream legitimacy that makes me think that this probably will continue to be around some point.
Since it hasn't gone away, kind of my point on that is it hasn't gone away. The longer it hangs around, it can develop consistency, legitimacy, and others are adding ETFs and monitoring programs. Firms are accepting it. But still, this volatility is still the problem. But it, I would think it would be a lot less like that 5 years from now.
I think in 20 years from now, they're going to be pegging gold to the Bitcoin, not Bitcoin to the gold.
Don't quite go there.
Once you get the economies of scale, once you get tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of people in Bitcoin, that stability will happen, and you can't mess with it. You can't go print more. You can't go like fiat currency. You can't go dig more out of the ground like gold. It doesn't get used in industrial applications like gold, you know, like the ring on your airbag or anything.
There's something else I want to talk about. Like, what is it? El Pesa, whatever is that?
M-Pesa.
M-Pesa. Something similar to that I want to talk about later.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Hey, welcome to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I am your co-host, James Parker. Joining us in studio this hour is the partners of Dwell Nola Realty Firm, Tracy and Stephanie. So if you have any real estate issues, real estate questions, want to get started, thinking about investment property, now's a good hour for you to float your question, have a discussion with two ladies who do this for a living. 504-260-0995. So we're going to do some real estate news thrown in there as well as answering your questions. Coming up in the final hour of the show, we're going to give you some New Year's resolutions, financially speaking, for 2017. We're going to talk about the demise of Sears. We're going to clean up a little bit on the jobs numbers as well. So look forward to that. Don't forget, we have our next live event is coming up January 19th. Gregory Ricks Live is an event that we treat as sort of a financial first date. It happens not this coming Thursday, but next Thursday, January 19th, 6:30 p.m., Ruth's Chris in Metairie. And what you do is you show up, you hang out with about 30, 40 people who are in the same boat as you, and we meet each other. You get a presentation from Gregory. You can meet the team, meet the Total Wealth Authority. I'll be there. You should come anyway. Of course, there's going to be some food involved. But we just don't bring on anyone as clients, and we don't expect you to just, you know, without question, accept us as your financial advisory firm without getting to know us a little bit and seeing what we're all about. So we're not going to talk products. We're not going to try and sell you anything. No one's going to get you to cut a check or fill out some onerous paperwork. It's really a first date. It's a meeting because we have our own little philosophical direction, and it's very important that you pick a guy that thinks like you do, that has the same goals as you do, has the same worldview as you do. It's very much like picking a doctor, you know, and that metaphor keeps coming up over and over. The difference between like a broker and a fiduciary is like the difference between a butcher and a dietitian. Well, we're the dietitian. We're not here to sell you product, but, you know, if you go to a broker, a guy sells mutual funds, guess what he's going to sell you? Mutual funds. If you have a guy who sells fixed annuities, what's he going to sell you? Fixed annuities. It's all he's got. It's all he can do. to the guy who only has a hammer, everything looks like a nail. However, we're more like the dietitian. We'll ask you some questions about yourself and get to know what your goals are. And hey, maybe you need a mutual fund. Maybe you need a fixed annuity. We don't know. We got to find out. But just like, you have some health issues, you just don't go, like if you get cancer, you don't go to the first doctor. Yeah, I got cancer. Do whatever. You go interview doctors. When I had the kiddos and we had to pick out pediatricians, we didn't just go pull into the first pediatrician's office and say, here, I turned my kid's life over to you. We interviewed her and she interviewed us. And it's I don't want to say it's an identical process, but that's probably the closest metaphor possible. We're going to be the people that are taking delicate care of your nest egg in very much of a doctor fashion. And you need to get to know us. And you need to get to know if our philosophy matches yours. If you're one of these hyper-aggressive guys that likes to take risk, and I want to get into this REIT, and I want to go invest in this some wild thing over here, and I want to go put some money overseas, and it's just not matching up, and we're not going to be a good fit, we need to know now before we get you all signed up. And that's all this is. It's just a financial first date. And can't promise anything on the first date, but January 19th, you do have to reserve your seat, 504-832-9200 is the office to reserve your seat. I know you probably didn't get a chance to memorize that or write it down. Remember GregoryRicks.com or the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Now, I know you can remember that. So, by the way, welcome back to the show, ladies of the Dwell Nola Realty Firm, who will also be at our next live event. Who gets to talk first, Tracy or Stephanie?
Stephanie.
Hi. All right, there's Stephanie.
Hello.
And that's Tracy. Welcome back. Wow. Don't we all look different in 2017?
Yeah.
I feel like
totally
we got older.
Different.
No, it's all the clothes here.
Yeah. I feel like my eyes don't work as well now that it's 2017.
Yeah, and it's weird to be indoors in this studio in the CBD and y'all are wearing three layers of clothes.
It is freezing outside. And when I woke up this morning, it was 28 degrees.
Yeah, I checked my phone too.
That was horrible.
And on the North Shore, it got even colder than that. I think there was a report of 24 was the low. From a buddy of mine up on the other side of the lake.
I'm not cut out for cold weather at
Me
all.
Neither. No, thank you.
Big old baby.
Yeah, my ancestors must have been from really far south Europe because I can't handle this. Can you think of those? Have you ever looked at a map and noticed that Rome and New York are on the same latitude? So all of Europe is basically Canada plus. How do they live there?
We were kind of talking about how people live in the north when, and
on the,
in,
way up, yeah.
On the east coast on the way up the stairs. We don't know how you do it.
Yeah, it's like their normal day. You wake up and it's 28 degrees. You're like, hey, that's fine. Let's just go to work. Yeah. No big deal.
Well, let's go back to the other extreme. And I talk about this a lot is summertime, the heat and humidity here. And we think, oh, it's fine. We like this because we can go indoors and get air conditioned.
I don't think it's that we necessarily like it. I think it's just better than the cold.
Yeah, better than the cold, but, you know,
oh, yeah.
The temperatures and the humidity here. How did you do that in 1800 or 1700? Let's go back to that, you know, when the French settled this area, and they were thinking this is sure a lot better than Europe, but still, it's...
Yeah,
gosh, I couldn't live here in the summer.
I think that all
AC.
The time when I drive down Canal and I see those old buildings that still have the old signs up that say air conditioning,
mm-hmm.
You know, because that was a big deal.
Yeah,
I'm
okay.
Like, I don't know how they did it.
Here's the big difference. Here's why the extreme hot is better than the extreme cold. When it's 100 degrees, see that little bridge over there that's going to the Mississippi River? I can go sleep under that and not die.
Yeah.
I can't say that when it's 15 degrees. I'll be just fine. I can live. Cold will kill you. What is that noise? Is that you?
Blizzard sound.
Oh, okay.
Windy.
That is what it feels like.
Did you catch what the name of this storm was moving through the north? They named the storms.
What's it called?
Trump.
Gregory.
Oh, it is.
Oh, it's all your fault.
Winter Storm Gregory.
Ah, you're so icy.
What appropriate name, but then that takes me off the list for what? Forever?
Yeah.
Long time.
It's better than being a hurricane, though, Gregory.
Right.
Yes, that's true.
I'm just blowing a lot of cold.
Because
how awkward
is this region for any cute little girl named Katrina these days?
Yeah.
All right, let's get down to business. 2017, what's on your mind, ladies? Welcome back. Let's get started. I don't even want to jog through this. I want to run through this.
Well, this is just about people's predictions, what the market's going to look like for the upcoming year. So Realtor.com did a survey, and they, based on the results of that survey, first-time home buyers are going to make up approximately 52% of the market. 61% of those first-time home buyers are going to be under the age of 35. We were kind of like that this in 2016 as well. A lot of it was... Why are you laughing?
I bought my first house. You want to guess if I was over or under 35?
Over.
It was the day I turned 35.
I was going to say you're barely over 35, so...
It was we filled out the paperwork on my birthday when I turned 35.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so it's real easy to remember. That's my mortgage birthday as well.
Not necessarily something to celebrate.
It will be when it's paid off. Right now it stinks, though. Yes,
yeah, of course.
Disgust me.
Anyway, so they're saying that 61% of, first-time home buyers will be under the age of 35. Like I was saying, that's pretty much where we were for 2016 as well. The key things that people are looking for when they're looking to buy a new home, first off, is safety. I think that's probably the case with anybody.
Well, define safety. You mean like a low crime neighborhood or the roof isn't going to collapse?
Low crime.
Okay.
Based on crime statistics.
Real quick. A lot of that really has to do with if you have kids or not. Because when the Irish Channel was being developed, people with kids really didn't move in there a whole lot. We sold a lot to single couples, couples without kids or young professional single people. So it really kind of depends on if you have kids or not. That's really what it boils down to. The safety issue, because the Irish Channel is really great now. I mean, it's still a little bit transitional, but it's phenomenal now. And somebody had to take that first step to move into the Irish Channel. And it wasn't someone with a family,
right, well,
you know.
Yeah. And crime statistics at the time that they were transitioning, all of that were higher than they are now. So I don't have kids. Safety is still a concern to me, but it's definitely not to the same level as James, probably you are when you're thinking about, you know, the hot redhead walking the kids outside or letting them, you know, ride their power wheels down the sidewalk.
Well, yeah, but this to me, this sounds more like we would purposefully avoid a house with a pool if we could, because, you know, we got little toddlers and that you don't want them walking in pools. That's what I was thinking of safety.
Yeah, no, this is more based on the crime in the area.
But that is true.
But yes, I mean, that would be a concern as well.
And there's other considerations besides crime when you have toddlers. Like, you don't want to buy a house that's like built into the side of a cliff or anything cool like that.
What?
Yeah.
You don't want to live on a boat. We see people with kids on boats. Well, remember
bad idea, huh?
Steph and I actually stayed in Boston on a yacht in Boston, just in the harbor.
Sweet.
It didn't go anywhere. But anyway, we saw some families out there with kids, and one of them was living, they lived on the boat, and they had smaller kids. So, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I don't know how you deal with that.
I mean, I think they were raised that way. Yeah. So, you know, that's probably a totally different situation than the average person.
Well, you ladies run your own real estate firm. Have you ever sold a boathouse?
No.
I don't know anyone lives in a boathouse around here.
Yeah,
no.
I have three friends.
Yeah. I have a friend in San Francisco that lives on a boat, but not here in New Orleans.
Yeah, we have a few. Actually, we have Paul, a friend. Paul has a boathouse, yeah.
He doesn't live on it permanently, does he?
No, he's in and out, though. Yeah.
Okay, well, the yard thing is one of those, you think it's sort of immutable. Either the houses have a yard or they don't. But I'm noticing that, especially in Lakeview, because so many lots got wiped out after Katrina, we're sort of recapturing the idea of a big yard. And you see people picking up the adjacent lots. So the yard is making a return in New Orleans.
It's a huge concern to people. Let me tell you, listings that do not have yards, substantial size yards, or even average size yards, you know, they have small courtyards or they have a little bit of a yard, but it's just not very big. They sit on the market longer. It's just the way it is. People definitely want a yard for their kids to play in, their dogs to run in, you know, potential to put a pool in.
We actually have two properties right now that are shy on yards. And they're geared more toward people with older children. You know, because if you have a small kid, you can't, it's hard. I mean, you can fit a swing set, but it's tight, you know, and you want a yard like yours if you have kids, you know, so.
Yeah, I got a little decent sized yard.
You got a big yard. You have a huge yard.
I grew up in the country on a horse ranch. My backyard was 30 acres. This is nothing.
It is all relative.
Nothing. Come on. I could do donuts in my. I did do donuts in my backyard when I was growing up.
Large for New Orleans. Let's put it that way.
Tracy and Stephanie, partners of the Dwell Nola Realty firm, are in studio. We're talking about the real estate market forecast for 2017. If you have any financial or real estate questions, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. If you got a kiss on your lips, but you're looking for somebody to take. If you got a heart that ain't afraid to love and afraid to break. If you got a body not free and a shotgun see, you will understand I ain't got nowhere to be. So baby, I'll take whatever it is you got to give. Yeah, I'm calling dibs on your lips, on your kiss, on your time. Boy, I'm calling dibs on your hand. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Sorry, we just like to chat on the breaks as well. We're joined in studio, Tracy and Stephanie, the Dwell Nola Realty Firm, dwellnola.com. Now, you're centrally located in, technically, is that Fat City?
No.
It's oh, good God, no.
No,
you're like two
I'm just
blocks
saying
from
it's
it
not,
if you're not.
Though. It's right behind Lakeside Mall, across from Randazzo King Cake. Everybody knows where that is.
Doesn't that count as Fat City? Because I know some people that count the mall as Fat City. No. Basically, from there
it's not
over.
Fat City.
What's the pushback against Fat
nothing,
City?
It's just nothing. It's just not. It's too close
it's
to Causeway.
Not Fat City.
The fun part about your office, though, is y'all get to... Are you okay with the mic there?
We're having a lot of trouble here today. 2017. No, sorry, everyone.
Yeah, I have to make it lower.
Let me know when you're situated, and I'll continue.
We're situated.
Okay. Across the street, y'all got Randazzo's, and you get to, I hate you. And you get to see the line form around the block.
Oh, we have to block our parking off because they come and steal our parking every day.
That's very New Orleans of y'all. How fun is that?
But it is kind of nice because when I want a king cake, I just run right over there and get
one. You have
one.
To get there early. They have a big sold-out sign that goes on there late morning.
Oh, yeah.
Really, it goes in up there.
Like 11 o'clock?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, seriously. You have to be there first thing in the morning.
That's why the lines are
before
there.
They open. To get in line.
But is there ever any time where there's not a line and they have king cakes and y'all can just run over and grab one
real
quick?
No.
There's never not a line.
No.
Yeah, before king cake day.
Right.
No, literally, it's all season long.
I mean, if you go for the Christmas king cakes, there was no line.
Right.
But
there's no such thing as a Christmas king cake.
Yes, there is.
If it's during
they
Christmas,
have
it's not a
Christmas king cake.
No,
I got
Christmas
one.
Christmas cake.
You got a cinnamon bun is what you have.
It was really good.
If it's not carnival season, it's not a king cake, right? You can't have it outside of.
What do they call it? Do they call it a Christmas cake?
Yeah, they call it a cinnamon
bun.
They
call it a king cake. It's just called a king cake.
It's called a Cinnabon.
A king cake with Christmas colors, let's put it that way.
Anyway, that's when you can go and not wait in the line. But if you go for carnival season, you're going to be waiting.
When it's this cold, does this hurt the real estate market? People don't want to show houses. People don't want to look at houses. People don't want to go.
It's cold, but look, if somebody needs to get in somewhere, they're going to go look.
That's what I would think, because when I needed to buy a house, I had sort of time constraints here. It's like, I need to buy.
The rain will stop them more than for that day, the more than the cold. People will just bundle up and go see properties if they really want to get in somewhere. If they're just casually looking, they might wait.
Yeah, if they feel like there's going to be a major demand for that property, they'll suffer through it. But if it's something that, has been on the market, they don't feel like they've got a whole lot of competition, they're going to wait for a warm day.
All right. Well, let's talk about what we expect to happen in the real estate world in 2017.
All right. Let's just start that off with interest rates are rising. I know no one wants to hear it, but it's not going to be that bad.
No.
We have been very, very spoiled with low interest rates. We're still going to have low interest rates in, the scheme of things, but they're probably going to stay under 5%, but they're going to push it. Is what's being predicted
for all of 2017.
For 2017, we're gonna see some increases happening, and I mean, we're already seeing increases happening.
Well, I would be jumping
since
the
election
because look, in our heads, and when I say it and comes out of my mouth, the difference between 4% and 5% doesn't sound that much. Sounds kind of piddly, but when you look at it in a percentage terms, if you instead of 4%, you're stuck with 5%, that's a 25% jump.
Right,
exactly. So with that, with people knowing that the interest rates are going to go up. There is a prediction that they're going to start shopping earlier in the year because they don't want to wait till later in the year when the interest rates may be at their higher peak. So we'll probably see a jump in the market earlier rather than when we normally see it.
You know, we've enjoyed these interest rates for so long. And when you go from 3.5 to 3.75, people get nervous, and it's just such a small, and even at 4 and 4.5%, it's still so low compared to history. So it's really not going to be, of course you want to get it when it's lower. So if you're going to do it, try to shop early if you can. Starting in, I would say right after Mardi Gras, the properties are going to start hitting the market big. So we're going to be rolling into spring shortly after that. So, and if anybody's out there and they want to get their property on the market and they're doing renovations now or painting or freshening up, make sure you're ready to go right after Mardi Gras, because it's going to get crazy. That's the time of the season.
Why not during Mardi Gras? And Mardi Gras kind of shut things down?
Well, it's, you know, right after Mardi Gras, it's slow. And then, you know, spring starts creeping up after that. So I would say if you start thinking about listing it, plan on at least sometime within the 2 weeks after Mardi Gras to get your property on the market.
All right.
You'll have a lot of competition, but people are going to start shopping then. They'll start looking.
Does that apply to the North Shore, or is the North Shore sort of Mardi Gras agnostic?
No,
it applies.
It's the same thing. It's closer to spring, people list, whether all over. That's just how it is.
The study that I was talking about earlier, the realtor.com, 73% of people surveyed are going to shop during the spring and summer season. That's when they're predicting they're going to start looking.
Are they like trying to accommodate kids' schedules because it's easier
lots
during
of times.
The summer?
Yep. Well, it's nicer to shop in the spring. A lot of times you have your curb appeal looks a lot nicer in the springs. Houses seem to be more appealing then. And people want to get their kids into the new school before the next school year. So that's the most important thing for families.
Okay, what do you think is going to happen with lending standards?
They're supposed to relax a little bit, which will be great, because that's probably the biggest frustration in the process right now. I do sympathize with lenders out there, because they have a really hard job at the moment. I mean, when we're working with buyers are calling us all the time, so frustrated with the lender because they're asking for these documents multiple times. And it's every lender that we work with. And it's just the nature of the beast right now. And that type of thing is going to lessen up a little bit as the year goes through. So that'll be good for everyone involved.
Are y'all watching for the repeal of Dodd-Frank? Because part of your increased paperwork came out of that bill.
Yeah, actually. I mean, of course, it would be not. The lenders would love it. The thing is right now, the thing that holds a lot of closings up right now is if there's a change on the closing document, the closing disclosure. They have to resubmit everything, and you have to wait 72 hours before you can close. So the buyer has to have his closing disclosure, which is the old HUD statement, 72 hours prior to closing. So if anything happens to change on that, the lenders are required to push the closing back 72 hours. The buyer needs 72 hours to review it, understand it. It's what has to happen now. It's not, look, if I think there should be some type of waiver that if a buyer signs off and says, I'm ready to go, we should be able to close. But the lenders are not allowed to, they're not allowed to do that. So it's pushed closings back sometimes.
It has. I mean, I get the point of it, and in the philosophy behind it makes complete sense.
Yeah.
What was happening previously was that we were getting it at closing.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody would see the closing documents until we sat down at the closing table,
right.
And then things are wrong and we're already ready to go and they're trying to make changes at the last minute, and it can be pure chaos. So that was put in place to keep that from happening.
And for the buyers to understand the documents.
Yeah, so that they have time to read it at home, be comfortable with the numbers, we can all have a conversation about it rather than being at the closing table and feeling like everybody's staring at them, waiting for them to say it's okay. Mm-hmm. And if it's not okay, then they're the bad guys. So, I'm all for the concept of it. But it'd be nice if there were some adjustments made.
Well, for the show that comes on after ours, Dwayne Stein, Mortgage Gumbo, he has some strong opinions on TRID. You think anything's going to happen with TRID? First off, explain to me again what TRID is and if that's going to change in 2017 with some of these.
Tread all these rules that they put in place. I mean, this is just all the rules and regulations that they put in place for the lenders to follow, which Dwayne has gotten the brunt of all that. So the thing is, if they, that's what she's talking about, laxing those standards. If they start laxing those standards, it'll be easier on the lenders to get all the, to get to the closing just in a simpler fashion, I guess. So it's going to help him out a lot. And they'll lax some of those rules and regulations. But The 72-hour thing, like Stephanie said, really is a good thing because the buyers need to fully understand that closing disclosure. But, you know, as an agent, you need to really review over every step of that closing disclosure. They review it at the table, at the closing table. But if you review it ahead of time, they, you know, they don't do this every day. So it's hard for them to understand what these fees and charges are. What are you doing?
What? Oh, I'm pumping hearts on the Periscope fee. This is how you applaud in Periscope. Okay. You just tap the screen. Okay. But I'm not looking at the screen. I'm just tapping away.
Okay.
Tap, 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 tap. All right. What's it going to look like around here? Are we going to continue building? Is Lakeview going to keep having houses go up in lots? Because I thought it took a pause for a second, but now it's rip-roaring back around in my neighborhood.
It's going to continue.
Yeah.
It's going to continue. I'm actually driving by some lots in Lakeview when I leave here. Going to go drive by some lots in Lakeview because I have a builder that's looking for, two builders looking for lots right now, and they want to either go Lakeview. I'm checking out some in Lakeview, some in Metairie. And I think those are one in Mid-City.
And one in Old Metairie.
Yeah, in Metairie and, yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of prices are they going for now? Because they're all similar sized.
Yeah. So it depends on where it is. If you're looking, like, what I'm going to look at right now is between West End, and
Bel Air, Fleur de Lis, what?
Argonne. You know, that where you
Other
live.
Way.
So that's $250,000, right? Some are $279,000, $250,000 to $280,000. And then we're looking at some in your neighborhood, and we're getting those. Some of those are around $210,000, $180,000, $150,000 for the smaller ones. We're looking at some over by Delgado.
Hey,
right?
Gregory, notice how my neighborhood's cheaper than yours? How'd that happen?
Yeah, but it's just what I'm seeing is because I've done some buying a few years ago, and prices just continue to go up.
Yeah. Well, they tend to build houses over there 2,500, 3,000 square feet.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker, joined by Tracy and Stephanie with Dwell NOLA. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back. This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. We're live here till 1 o'clock. Dwayne Stein with Mortgage Gumbo will follow us at that time. We have the ladies from Dwell NOLA Realty, Tracy and Stephanie. A couple of numbers I'm going to throw at you through the remainder of the show. On April 4th of 2016, Roger Altman wrote, "There is a deep anger in the American electorate that explains the rise of two candidates, Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, whose presidential campaigns would, in previous election years, have been killed off well before that point when he made this comment." Altman was Deputy Treasury Secretary under Bill Clinton, sources Financial Times. It's kind of interesting take from that standpoint that, yeah. And that's one reason, when Trump announced, I was one to say he was not electable. I probably said it on the air here as well. I didn't think he was, but things have changed.
Oh, gosh. You know what I said? I was even more wrong than that. I was the guy who said, this is the guy that everyone says they've been looking for, and no one's going to support him. Because here's a guy who hasn't been a partisan. He has real world business experience. He's successful. He's not a staunch right-winger, staunch left-winger, staunch Republican, or staunch Democrat. You know, he says what's on his mind. He doesn't have a bunch of prepared statements. He doesn't follow the politically correct playbook. He has no donors, so he's not controlled by big business or by billionaires. Like, he's exactly what everyone said they want, and no one's going to support him. That's what I said when he announced. So I was even more wrong than you are, especially that guy.
Yeah. The elitists they refer to, all the politicians, the party, didn't support him, and yet his electoral vote was certified yesterday. So no matter, and there was some complaints, but a self-funded Republican's going to be sworn in 2 weeks.
Well, he's not a gun nut. He's not an anti-abortion zealot. You know, he's on so many of the little touchy issues. He seems to fall right in with what I thought would resonate with people, but it ended up working out better than I thought.
Here's one thought, and it still goes to Russia and their hacking or whatever of the DNC and spilling that dirt. But we also see how Bernie was messed over. I wonder if this had been a true Democratic primary campaign without it just being focused and set up for her to win the party. I just wonder if they had just let that go, how that would have looked. That you might have had Bernie against Donald.
You know, again, if you want me to make another prediction that could be wrong, I think Bernie would have won. If they would have just got out of their own way and stuck with the candidate that had all the enthusiasm, they could have won that. But anyway, back to Tracy and Stephanie, partners of Dwell Nola Realty Firm, in studio with us for the rest of the hour. Let's talk about some of your featured properties here. And, you know, I looked down at the list of what you walked in with, and I saw that last one. I'm like, well, that's wildly expensive. But then I look what you get for that price.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually one of our agents, Olivia. It's 109 to 117 Tudor in River Ridge.
Wait, which is very key. We're like, hang on a second. How many properties could this entail?
Yeah.
So this is a package deal?
It's 9 units, yeah. So it's 2 fourplexes and 1 single-family home. The 2 fourplexes, 1 fourplex is 2 bedrooms, 1 bath in each unit. The other fourplex is 1 bedroom, 1 bath. The single is 2 bedroom, 1 bath, or a 3 bedroom. They have a separate office space that could be a 3rd bedroom. Now, it would be good for owner-occupant because the owner could live in the single and they could have the fourplexes for income, but mm-hmm. obviously the sale price is $1.1 million. So it's probably going to be a full investor property. Totally renovated. And granite, stainless steel. Like, the owner of this property is meticulous with his renovations. Meticulous. I mean, anal meticulous. So it's
in a good way,
beautiful.
Yes.
Oh, it's very a beautiful, nice. Beautiful property. He did a great, great job. And Olivia has that co-listed with Todd Tedesco. Olivia Price and Todd Tedesco have that listed for sale. $1.1 million, 109 to 117 Tudor Avenue, River Ridge. Great property for investment. Rachel Vett, one of our agents, has a property in Marrero, 2616 Mesa Drive in Marrero, 4 bedroom, 2 bath, 1476 square feet, $132,000. That's near Woodmere, and it's off of Barataria and Lafitte Parkway. That would be a great little either first-time home buyer or an investment property.
Four bedroom, 2 bath for $132,000 is a deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, and it's a cute little house. It really is a precious little house.
And then we have 2612 River Bend. This is a listing that I have co-listed with one of our agents, Martin.
Now, this is for a violation, right?
Yes. Thank you for remembering. Yes. Violet, about 5 minutes outside of Chalmette, really, really close to Chalmette. 1,638 square feet, $154,000. We are having an open house on that on the 15th from 1 to 3. So please come and join us. The weather, hopefully will be good.
Well,
crossing my fingers.
That's next Sunday. By then, it'll be 70 degrees. I'm
yeah,
sure.
Who knows, actually. We're so unpredictable at this point.
Okay, so you have open house in Violet on River Bend next Sunday.
Yes. And then our agent, Rachel, also has 6801 Phillip Street. That's Airline Park Subdivision. And that is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 1,547 square feet. And that is listed for $215,000.
Where is the Airline Park Subdivision?
It's in Metairie.
Can you narrow it down a little more?
Mm. Airline Park.
Yeah,
is it off Airline somewhere?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's between Airline and West Metairie.
Good enough. That's
between
all.
Between Airline and West Metairie. Yeah.
Just wondering what the neighborhood, because it's all that matters. Location, location, location.
Actually, it's
right?
The bounding streets are Eisenhower and Sadie. But
that's actually a great little neighborhood for first time home buyers.
Yeah, good subdivision.
Well, I'm fascinated by this action you got over on Tudor. 2 fourplexes and a single family home. That's exactly what you're talking about, Gregory, when people come in and they want to get into the real estate or they want to do some investing or get an investment property. And you say, don't buy one house. If you can, get several units. That way, if one's unoccupied, you have others to pick up the slack. And
that area is will lease quickly because it's a great area. This actually, this little house on Phillips Street is totally renovated, beautiful. This is one of our investors. He purchased this from us for a flip, and he's doing this as a flip. Another investor who does gorgeous work. I'm telling you, nothing will be out of place in this house. It's phenomenal. The investors that we work with do beautiful work.
I was going to say, I can't think of any investors we work with that we wouldn't say that.
I'm getting a little Trump thing going on there. Did you notice that? I'm getting a little Trump thing going on with my hand.
Her little hand.
Beautiful work. Beautiful work.
Bigly. All right. So I'm just looking up on the map where some of these properties are. Did you really crack yourself up?
Over there? Tracy cracked me up.
Go back to the realty property. You had a fourplex.
Two fourplexes and a single family home.
Yeah. And what area are they in?
River Ridge. It's right off of Jefferson Highway.
It's all together.
Behind.
So is this all one package or each?
One package deal. Two fourplexes.
And they're all two adjacent, though. How nice is that?
Right. Two bedrooms, one bath for one fourplex, all the units. One bedroom, one bath for the other fourplex, all of the units. And then a single family home, two bedrooms, one bath, or three bedrooms, one bath. You have that extra room that could either be your office or a bedroom or a playroom, just depending on what your family
is. I don't know the seller, do I?
No.
Okay.
No.
What kind of money?
1.1.
So what would be return? Would be cash flow?
$88.50 is the return right now. Is the income. $88.50 a month.
Okay, about 8%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where I was trying to get to.
Yeah.
Is that what we're looking at?
He's a numbers guy.
8%,
number.
8%, good number for you, Gregory. How does that stack up?
Well, a lot of what you see typically is 10%. There, mm-hmm. when I see numbers, somebody's coming in and talking about selling, because then I'll ask what the cash flow is, mm-hmm. because what they're thinking about is, okay, I'm kind of tired of real estate. Can I do to replace that income?
Mm-hmm.
You can't go to Wall Street and replace 10%. You're not getting bonds. You're not getting treasuries.
You're thinking of it as a return. Of course, that's how you think about it. All right. I was just. I thought,
that's where I get to. So, and 8% solid number. I'm not going to go get that for you on bonds. You know, that's just where I was trying to get to.
God, and how convenient that they're all basically on the same piece of land. I'm looking at it on Google. They're all together. Cool.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, thank you very much. Tracy and Stephanie, Dwell Noel Realty, 504-260-0995. If you want to give us a call, I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back. Bringing you a mix of music. That's a little bit of country there. I'm Gregory Ricks. This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. James Parker's the other host as well. We have Tracy and Stephanie of Dwell Noel Realty. They were giving us a rundown on some of the listings. We talked a little bit about commercial properties and numbers. I'm going to throw another number at you. 2 days after the June 23rd Brexit vote last year, Jim Mellon, chairman of Byrne Bray Group, predicted that the euro is gone within 3 to 5 years. Mellon believes that the UK's decision to depart from the European Union could lead other countries to depart the political union. Big bold vote. I can't disagree with that. I hate to put a time frame on it, but I think they will have other members leave. Not that it breaks it up, but it's heading down that road.
It's a great idea to have one currency for that entire economic block that is Europe, but it is not a good idea to leave it a fiat currency in the hands of a central bank.
Yeah, but I think more important where they did the no borders, kind of the U.S. model with the states, is just this geopolitical climate has changed all that the way they see it, and kind of we just don't need all that moving around and the blowing up of stuff and all the stuff that happens.
Yeah, well, it would be like, what if one of the states out of all the United States said, we're just going to take in every angry Syrian from the middle of the desert, and then they can branch out into the United States from there? Yeah, we like if South Carolina did that, we'd kind of be mad at South Carolina. It's like, I don't know if we want to let you be the turnstile on our immigration system. Anyway, back to Tracy and Stephanie here. Let's talk about coming up in 2017. What are the hottest housing markets going to be?
Nashville, Tennessee.
What's so hot about Nashville? Why are they
well,
so big all of a sudden?
This is all based on rising home prices, low unemployment rates, and income growth. And so based on those statistics, these top five areas are the hottest
now,
for
is
2017.
Tennessee's one of the states that doesn't have an income tax, right?
I have no idea.
I think they're one of the big, how many other, like eight states that don't have an income tax? I think Tennessee might be one of those.
Well, Nashville, Tennessee is number one as far as the hottest market. For 2017, Seattle, Washington is number two. Provo, Utah. Let me tell you, Utah in general apparently is a hot market because
well,
on
a couple
numerous
of those
lists
you've already mentioned are much colder today than here.
Oh yeah, my sister lives in Utah. She sent me a screenshot of the temperature this morning. It was 1 degree.
One.
And then she sent me all these beautiful pictures of the snow everywhere, and I'm going to admire them from afar. Yeah. So number four on the list, Orlando, Florida, and number five, Salt Lake City, Utah. So those are the top five markets for 2017.
Only one warm place.
Yeah.
Well, I think Seattle counts as a warm place. It doesn't really snow there except for on the top of the mountain.
It does get cold, though.
Does it?
Yeah.
It doesn't really snow here.
Yeah.
Right.
It gets cold like it does here. Yeah. It's rainy and cold.
Man, I'm pretty surprised about Nashville.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that hot and heavy. Did they get some new corporate headquarters or something I don't know about or some new factories open up there? I don't know.
Not
I didn't
that
know
I'm
it was
aware
that hip.
Of, but yeah.
Oh, Nashville's awesome. I have a friend that lives there, and she loves it. I mean, it's got a lot going. It's got as much going on like as New Orleans does. I mean, it's great.
All right.
Well, and a lot of these places, if you look at them, they've also got a lot of land to grow, which is a big deal with the millennials who are now getting into the housing market because – the first-time home buyer houses, there is a massive shortage of those entry-level homes. So they, rather than buying something smaller than what they want in the cityscape, they are choosing to go to more suburban areas that and get something that they're actually looking for as far as space goes, yard goes, security goes. So that kind of goes hand-in-hand with that, being that they have more land to grow and more ability to build. Like here in New Orleans, obviously, you know, our prices go up so much because we have so little land. We can't really build new things. So when something goes on the market, they can ask a higher price for it because there's a big demand for it and low shortage.
Supply and demand, right?
North Shore, they've got land. So their price point over there is a lot less than ours in the heart of New Orleans because they can just build something else out there.
In Tennessee, they do not apply income tax to salaries, but most from stocks, bonds, notes, receivables is taxable at a flat tax rate of 6%. They do have a pretty good sales tax. I think it's about 7% in Tennessee. When you add on the municipalities, it's kind of like Orleans here, what, 9.25, something like that.
Speaking of taxes and 2017, if you're listening in and you're not aware, Amazon is now charging us sales tax in Louisiana.
Yeah, yep. I'll still buy from them anyway.
I still do. Yep. But it was just, I had a little sticker shock, I have to say, because when I looked at my order, I was like, oh, there's tax on that. I even knew it was coming, but still I was like, and it was literally the first of the year.
Well, it was either they were going to be charged and they had to pay it, or they had to pass it on to us. So they chose to pass it on to us, obviously.
Yeah, I don't blame them. Yeah. It's all about convenience, though. I'll still order from them.
Well, can we talk about how regionally, what's the hotter markets? Now, I don't want to talk about New Orleans, but look, remember, we have our affiliate in Biloxi's listening, too. So out of our whole little area, what are some of the hotter markets?
Well, in Biloxi, I'm not in Biloxi, but Bay St. Louis is a hot area. We've referred some people over there to buy properties in Bay St. Louis and Pass Christian are pretty hot over there.
That's
at least for people over here purchasing out that way. For New Orleanians, Pass Christian and Bay St. Louis are the two hottest areas In my experience so far, yeah. They want to be in one of those two areas, right before the bridge and right after the bridge.
It's the closest beach.
Yes. Well, Waveland is first, then Bay St. Louis, then the pass. So Waveland is not as popular as Bay St. Louis. Bay St. Louis has that little town. They do the that car show that you probably know about. It's cruising the coast.
Yeah,
and that's really big, and they have a lot of festivals there. So,
well, that's a nice little town, and that's an old town that didn't just spring up so we could build some beach houses. That's been there since like the 1700s, if I'm not mistaken.
And I think that's what people really love about it. It's very quaint. You know, it has that like old timey feel to it, and it's just kind of relaxed. And that's the whole point in getting something.
Steph
out
and
that
I
way.
Go there all the time. We're always there.
Yeah, and there's a couple of really, really old buildings over there. So you get kind of the nicety, and you get grounded in the history.
Yeah.
But because it's, you know, so frequently hit by storms.
Yeah.
Most everything else is like new and clean and kept up, and you look, not a whole lot of blight going on in Bay St. Louis.
No, it's really nice.
What about on the North Shore? What's the hot market there? Is it still Mandeville? Because I see Mandeville prices going up, and I still see people insisting on moving there.
Yeah. I mean, we get people that want to move to Mandeville all the time. Mandeville's hot because it's right there. It's very easy to get to. It's not a big, long drive. Like, you go to Covington, and depending on where you are in Covington, you could be much further out there. But Mandeville's
the thing
so close.
People that are moving from this side of the lake over there, they still want to be close to the city, so they choose Mandeville. If you're already living over there for a number of years, you're more likely to move out further if you're purchasing your second home over there. But if you're moving from here to over there, you want to try to stay close. A lot of times, most people. The people that we sell to over there are from here most of the time on the North.
Yeah, a lot of times they're just moving for school districts.
I have an acquaintance from Ponchatoula who swears Ponchatoula's booming. And I don't see other people talking about it. I don't see it in the media. Is he just a homer?
I don't know. He might know something we don't know. But I mean, I haven't had any experience with it being a booming place to want to be. I don't know. I mean,
the edge of Ponchatoula, closer to the North Shore, is hotter than I think anywhere.
Like going toward Madisonville, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. That actually, those two areas, the end of beginning of Madisonville on that end, and on I-12, and then the end of Ponchatoula there, that's all a lot of new development over there.
I explain how 2017 is going to be the year of the smart home.
Oh, yeah. So I'm excited about this, actually, because I feel like it has taken us a really long time to get to this point where people will trust technology and want to start really, truly incorporating it into their homes. But 80 million smart home devices were purchased in 2016, which is a 64% increase over 2015. So that in itself just tells us people are obviously very interested in technology, getting interested in it. They're trusting it. They're learning how to actually integrate it. And the companies that are creating it are helping to integrate it with other things. I think that was actually something that was a big hurdle for us, is you know, you'd buy all these separate pieces, and not in a lot of cases, they didn't all work with one another. So, okay, great. My lights might be automated, but I need to use this for that. And then, you know, my stereo system's automated on something else. And now they're trying to incorporate all of that together.
Did you see the news report about the little girl who used the Alexa to order a dollhouse?
No.
The guy sent her parents, Alexa, I want a dollhouse, and sent it to her. They did a news report on it. And the news anchor in San Antonio went, wow, all she said is, Alexa, I want to order a dollhouse. And a bunch of dollhouses got ordered to San Diego because the news anchor said it.
Oh, well, let me
That's
tell
hysterical.
You. Let me tell
yeah,
you.
Like a thousand.
We got an Alexa, and we're using it like crazy.
All right. We got to run. Tracy and Stephanie, this partners to the Dwell Nola Realty Firm. They'll be at our next live event January 19th. DwellNola.com is their website. Welcome to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Yeah, our engineer out in the hallways in an Alabama fleece. He's an Alabama fan.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice if you're an Alabama fan? What, have you got like 28 titles in the last 27 years? However they worked that out.
504-260-0995. If you have a financial situation looking for a little bit of help, I'm Gregory Ricks. That was James Parker.
That was Forrest Gump.
We are your hosts, and that was Forrest Gump. Yeah, he played for Alabama, but he should have went to LSU, and I don't understand what happened there. Somebody dropped the ball in that era, but I was giving him a hard time. Actually, I was reading an article. I'm not Forrest Gump, but Doug, the engineer, since he's got his Alabama fleece on, and I said, well, this is their last championship for a while because he's going over to the pros.
No.
Jim Irsay, why hasn't he hired a coach? Well, he hadn't fired, but he's not given any confidence to the coach and GM. And Saban's got this window. We had what was the coach that won a couple of Super Bowls for the Giants recently?
And Coughlin.
Yeah, he's 70 now, and that run kind of started when he was 65, and Saban's 65. If that's kind of still in him, and it might not, because I don't know the guy. I just see him winning championships. But if it's still in him to do that, what was missing from Miami when he was there?
Quarterback,
and he blew the call on that because they could have had Drew Brees.
Ooh, yeah, they took Culpepper. And
Saban,
that's right.
There might not be all these championships at Alabama because he may have still be with Miami if he had had Drew. And looked like an NFL genius that time. But he would have a quarterback at Indy called Luck.
And he's awesome.
So if he has that in him to kind of make that one last stab at that, because no matter what, he's not doing it for the money.
No. Because, you know, University of Texas would have backed up a dump truck full of money to his house this offseason.
It helps to have the money, but he's rich. And, yeah, Irsay would throw a lot of money at him anyhow, so he's not going to go be poor coaching up there. But, heck, if you were Irsay, what would you want to do?
I would want Nick Saban.
I'd make a run.
Everybody wants Nick Saban. Hang on, let's ask Wes Blanchard. He's a member of the Total Wealth Authority, but he's a guy that knows more about football than you and me, Gregory.
Yeah.
Shockingly. Hey, Wes, what do you think about Gregory's theory Nick Saban's going to go to Indianapolis?
Oh, man, I just don't see it. I really don't.
And why not? Why not?
Well, I think he probably is jealous of Pete Carroll to a certain extent, but I really do think, I mean, he's got it made. Anything that he wants in Alabama, he can get, and I just don't know if it doesn't work a second time that's the way he wants to end.
He cannot get an NFL championship in Alabama.
Yeah,
that's a fair point, but I don't know if he can get it in Indianapolis either.
Well, right, but he's king, but you're king of the Hicks. I mean, that's all fun, but there's bigger fish to fry. Anyway, Wes Blanchard, he's the estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority of Gregory Ricks and Associates. He will be at our next live event coming up next Thursday, January 19th. But he's also going to be our guest on next Saturday's show. What are we talking about next Saturday with you, Wes?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I always like to start the year, obviously, just sort of trying to get people resolved to actually get their estate plan together. It's one of those times of the year where it's a good sticking point to know that this is something you want to accomplish and just sort of explain the process. And it's really not a long one. It's something that could be done in relatively short order. So I think it's good to sort of jump on it while it's hot and, you know, also talk a little bit about why it's important to get an estate plan together, whether you're a young couple or an older couple. Something needs to be done, and it really shouldn't wait much longer than now, honestly.
Yeah, and Wes, we're going to be talking about this later in the hour, some of your financial resolutions for 2017, and one of them includes updating your estate plan. And we were talking about it on the show last night, the Daily Wrap, some of the life marker, the trip wires that should make you go back and reevaluate your estate plan. When you get married, if there's a death in the family, when you have kids, when your kids get married, or you lose your job, or you retire, what are some of the other things that make you want to go back and have a chat with Wes about your will?
Yeah, I think you nailed a lot of them. But look, I mean, a major change in your financial situation, you know, if you get a really well-paying job or you inherit some money and things like that are going to be other triggers. But generally speaking, you know, it's the sort of familial changes, you know, with children and grandparents and things like that are really going to trigger the mindset. But overall, you know, you want to really evaluate it every 3 to 5 years, regardless of whether there's a significant change in circumstances or not.
Who do you like in the championship game, Clemson or Alabama?
I got Bama again this year.
Who do you like for the Super Bowl?
Probably, I'd say New England and Green Bay.
Oh, get out of here. I'm done with Wes. Bye. I'm a Cowboy fan. He just broke my heart.
Dumped them. Who did he pick?
He picked Green Bay. Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're on a run. They're kind of like the Giants of past.
Yeah, this last six in a row. They were 4-6 at one point, and now they're 10-6?
Yeah.
Good for them. All right, that's the Great West, Blanchard. I give them a hard time.
And you got a bunch of rookies on Dallas splashing around, and, you know, they're used to being off by now. College is done. And now they got to play. They're tired.
Maybe. That kid knows a lot about football. But when we talk about messing with the estate planning attorney, this is the guy. This is Wes. This is the guy that we have to go grab him on an almost daily basis and get him to help out.
His knowledge of football is small compared to the estate planning side. But we have fun with him, and he's totally wrong on the Jim Irsay thing. He must be running a little bit behind.
All right, before we run into our New Year's resolutions for 2017, I want to remind you about our next live event next Thursday, January 19th. It's sort of a financial first date. And if one of your financial resolutions is to get your money together or get an estate plan together or do something with this nest egg or, you know, protect your 401k because you know things are going to go down, we're going to have a stock downturn coming this year, then this is how you get started. You come out 6:30 p.m., Ruth's Chris, and Metairie. I don't care if you're listening on our Biloxi affiliate. I don't care if you're listening in the Baton Rouge area or you're about an hour or two away. It's worth the drive to come down. Find out if Gregory Ricks and Associates right for you. This could be the first step in your new financial future. And in a future that includes when you go to bed at night and your head hits the pillow, you can worry about 10 other things, but you don't have to worry about your money. That's what it's all about. So reserve your seat. It will fill up. 504-832-9200 is the office number. Or you can get the app, Gregory Ricks, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or go to gregoryricks.com.
Couple of numbers for you. Our nation's economy will begin its 91st month of growth this coming week. An expansion exceeded in length only 3 times since 1900. So it's in rare air. President-elect Trump predicted in April of last year, the U.S. is on course for a very massive recession because the country is sitting on an economic bubble. Here's another twist. Savita Subramanian, head of U.S. equity strategy at Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, predicted on October 9th of last year that the U.S. will hit a recession sometime in the second half of 2017. So I just kind of had you talking about the downturn.
Right.
So we've got
right.
A couple of well-known people with some predictions hanging out there for this year.
Well, I'll buy all that. That sounds pretty reasonable to me. You know, I want to run down the top business stories of 2016 before we do the resolutions, because this is a quickie. Do you agree with this? They have the number one top business story from USA Today in the money section was Donald Trump being elected president. I can't argue with that. There's so many of these regulations and Dodd-Frank and Obamacare that are tied.
Is this global
or
just U.S.?
This is global.
Okay. Well, Brexit has to be up there pretty high.
Brexit's number two.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense.
Number three, the Dow closing in on 20,000. I think they may be overrating that because it's sort of an arbitrary benchmark. But number four, the prescription drug prices controversy. You remember that with the EpiPen and the guy who got the AIDS pill and he jacked up the prices on that?
Yeah.
Thought that was a pretty good one. Number five, the Wells Fargo scandal where they were opening the ghost accounts. Kind of hard to argue with that. Number six, the unemployment rate falls. But it didn't really fall in 2016. It started at 5.0% and now it's at 4.7. Went to 4.6 at one point. That's kind of keeping the same, but I'll take that. Number seven, Oil prices plunging at the beginning of the year down to $27 a barrel and then rebounding, and it's double at that price, about doubling that price right now. Number eight, the U.S. dollar strengthening. Number seven, all the pressures on free trade, not just from us, but from the other trade partnerships around the world. And then number 10, I totally disagree with the fake news fears. Who cares about that financially? I mean, that's a cool story, but from the money angle, whatever.
Heard of Venmo?
No.
Heard of M-Pesa?
Yes.
How does M-Pesa work?
You text money to other people, but it's not via a bank account, and it's not via any other third-party transaction other than you pay M-Pesa. They hold your money, and you can send it to other people.
You might want to look up Venmo. Found out about this a couple weeks ago. Staff at work, you know, kind of do the joint lunch thing and whatever, and I've got a couple of people that don't have it, and they were saying, you know, here's what was said. If you would get Venmo, it would be very easy for me to pay you for my share of lunch today.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah. I'm looking at trying to find some fees now. I did download the app this morning, so I'm checking it out. You know, that's kind of what we're looking for. Hey, can I just send you $6? Now, you can bring on money from your bank account. You can transfer money to a bank account, but it's not using the bank for transactions. And what I thought about when we were talking about Bitcoin earlier, and eventually we get to stability. Well, this is kind of what I like, is if I have $6 in the account, it's not changing value tomorrow. I can still get that lunch for $6 subject to the business changing the price, but it's not moving in value. So I'm going to check it out, see what I can pay for with it. There's businesses involved that accept it as payment as well. So it's just really interesting. We've got, I'm not really familiar with the companies, but White Castle, we've heard of that. That's one. Game Time, Delivery.com, except Venmo.
Financial New Year's resolutions to build your wealth in 2017 coming up next. If you have a financial situation, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to Winning at Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Did I sound good saying it real fast like that, where it kind of makes it all one word? Can you do it?
Gregory Ricks.
I know. It was. Hey, we're live here till 1 o'clock. Dwayne Stein Mortgage Gumbo follows us. Financial situation, looking for a little help, comforting. 504-260-0995. I went over to Velvet last night, a couple margaritas.
Velvet Cactus?
Yeah, split a couple margaritas, some similar to what you and I did.
Mm-hmm.
And met up with some friends, and
Not that many.
and that's what she was. She wouldn't just say, "Hey, Gregory." She said, "Hey, Gregory Ricks." You know, and she said, it's just one word. That's who you are. So I was just... That's happening more, and I've just wondered why, because now you do it as well.
Well, I think my kids think that is your first name, Gregory Ricks. And it was weird for a while there, because a couple of years ago, when they don't really understand what's going on, you know, when Rex was only like four, you could ask him, "Hey, where does Granny and Grampy live?" He would say, "Texas." "Where do you live?" "Gregory Ricks." "What?" "Where does that..." He's not a municipality. That's who your dad works with. That's... You live in Gregory Ricks, Gregory Ricks. No, you live in New Orleans, Gregory Ricks. Forget it. Yeah, he... not only is he treated as one word, he thought that's where we lived for a while. And we couldn't talk him out of it for a few months.
Funny stuff.
No, he gets it now that he's in school, because it's beat down on him. But all right, so we got some financial New Year's resolutions. You want to start off with these? Because number one, I'm already breaking it. I don't like this one. I know it's a good idea, but I'm not a guy that accepts good ideas necessarily. Smart fellow that has bad judgment. stick to a budget. Nope, can't do it, won't do it. It's not for me. My budget is when my bank account gets to zero, I stop spending until I get paid again.
You have a good sense of what's going on. But
I don't know if I'd say that.
Well, you have to, or else you might. Do you have an overdraft, you know, where it becomes a loan on your checking account?
I mean, I do, but I almost never use that. I keep an eye. It's on my phone. Anytime I need to see my account balance.
24/7.
Yeah.
You know, if you got money to spend. Well, I'm broke. No fajitas today.
Well, listen, if it's toward the end of the month, or if it's toward the end of a pay period, I should say, and I walk into a grocery store, I think, okay, how much money can I spend without going over? And I look, and if it's like $800, like, oh, cool, I can buy whatever I want. But if it's like $150, I kind of got to get a little selective, and maybe we're not going to get that gigantic bottle of Jim Beam this time around.
Let me ask you this. This will be a little telling.
I buy the beer first. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay.
Is it a joint account?
No.
Or see, what if two people were doing that? Okay, I've got $100 left. And both of you happen to do that at the same time.
Well, see, that's... See,
but you don't have that, but that is the complication. It'd be more difficult to...
No, because I think about it in the next step up. I've really put a lot of thought into this. If you have a joint account, the impetus or your motivation is to do exactly the opposite. The only way you're going to get to spend that $100 is if you get to spend it first.
First.
Yes. It's a race to spend the money, or you're not going to get it at all.
Get your share.
Yeah, so that's so dangerous. People have,
I don't know.
They
I've never thought about it that way.
People have to be killing each other's relationships with these joint checking accounts, because
I can see where budgets or no budgets, but certain amount there, I could see where that could affect relationships.
I've just read too many of these economic books where they warn about community.
What did you do yesterday? Yeah, might come up as a question.
I mean, on a macro level, it's the same thing that happens with socialism. You know, you're just trying to spend the other guy's money. Collective property is bad. Collectivism doesn't even work on the micro level that well. But
it depends on people, how they're wired, whether or not they need a budget, at least, you know, and some people live that way by the numbers, because I'll have people come in and I'll ask them, well, what's your budget and spending? Just like the one we had, the pension splitting discussion earlier in the show that came in recently, but asking them, what is your monthly number you're needing? Because he's looking to retire here month or two. He knew his number. Or sometimes they come in with a spreadsheet, and if they don't know it, when they come in again, I'm asking for it, and they'll come in with it. Or some might say, well, I just kind of put a number out there. And then you'll have some meetings that, gosh, we have no idea what that number is. So you can see it's all kind of different. But if they have a budget, they know that number.
I don't know that number. All right, the next one we talked about on Tuesday quite a bit. I went back and did a little auditing myself. This one says audit your subscriptions, and this, we're not talking about Sports Illustrated or Highlights for Children. We're talking about your Netflix, your Hulu, if you got like a Xbox One, your Xbox account. Now, I have a couple. I signed up for YouTube Red. Right now I'm on the free phase, but it will kick in for, I think it's just like $5 a month after that. I mean, it's so piddly. But I have another one that's $6 a month. It's Audible. Do you know what Audible is? Producer Angie, you know what Audible is?
Yeah, for books, right?
Yeah, it's the audiobooks. You pay $6 a month. You can listen to any audiobook in their library as much as you want, all month, unlimited. You can listen to audiobooks.
Is this
through
like
them.
Netflix? You can see any movie, TV show, streaming, except the new stuff.
I haven't really tried to listen to new stuff. I should check that out.
I'm always on a backlog. I don't have to get new stuff. I've still got older stuff that I want to.
But I mean, I have to use that for work, because in order to be original, you can't just go repeat what the other sources are doing. You got to go listen to economics textbooks, or listen to radio broadcasting textbooks, or listen to some of these history textbooks. I have to do it. But that's one of them. So I checked up, and there's like, maybe I could get rid of a couple of these. I don't think I could get rid of Netflix. It's just too cheap, and we use it so much. We get our $9 back every month from that, or $11 back, whatever it is these days.
Yeah, see, you don't budget. No. So, you know, it's somewhere that it's still a great
pays
value.
For that one.
And by the way, what is its stock price? At an all-time high. I think it's 133 or something like that. It's in that neighborhood, but yeah, it's as popular as ever.
All right. Also on your financial New Year's resolutions to build wealth in 2017, it's time to look at refinancing your mortgage. And this one shows up this year, not so much as last year, because interest rates have gone up and they're expected to continue going up. And that window could close. And every month that you wait on the refinance, the math gets uglier. So you need to jump on that now. You know, you've paid down a lot of your equity. What if you want to recharacterize that debt and reduce a bill drastically? You know, you're going to hear Mortgage Gumbo coming up in about 35 minutes, and Dwayne will be able to help you with that. But I bet you he has a nice little run of people who are banging on his door trying to get a refi in before the rates continue to climb. And it's not going to climb that much. It's not expected to top. What was Tracy and Stephanie saying? 5% maybe by the end of the year could be your regular 30-year mortgage, which isn't bad. But do you agree with that? Refi, this is a good time to think about it. Should that be a resolution?
Could be. I'm still not there quite on 5, but could be close. That's not far off.
Well, do you like people restretching their debt back out? Because, I don't know, there's a case to be made for the money manager. Don't refi. Just stick it out and pay that sucker off, because what happens when that? Wouldn't you like that bill to just go away?
Depends on income and cash flow, how much you have assets. If it's built in for your retirement, that's a part of your monthly need to have the lifestyle, and you could look at it heck, I'm going to always have a house, because if I get tired of this one, I'm buying another. And, you know, the expectation is, yeah, I'm pretty much going to pay. I don't know that, but just say, yeah, I'm always going to have about a $900 a month house note, and my cash flow can always handle that. So then they could look at the interest rate, maybe lower it, refinance, pull cash out. Hey, there is an argument for doing that. Because if you live in Ninth Ward, house is paid for, flood comes, 8 feet high, how much equity are you going to pull out of that house when you have to relocate?
Yeah, none, right?
Yeah, okay. Just a thought. Why would you have debt? But if you've got limited or your numbers work better, I'd still say the common goal, even though it has changed, it's not as high a percentage. The common goal is to have that house paid for.
Now, in the article I'm referring to here from Forbes.com, I'm going to roll a few of these into one, because he talks a lot about tackling debt. Some of it's on your credit card. Some of it's some of your other bills, paying off student loans. And I want to roll that all into like what you call Zilchworks.
Yep, Zilchworks.com. We believe in getting rid of credit card debt, not just keeping that high interest rate.
Can you explain how it works in like 30 seconds?
Yeah, basically at the core of what it's doing, you're putting in there how much debt you owe, what is the interest rates, what the minimum payments are, and how much you can afford to pay extra on that. And the software will orderly put that in place to maximize all those factors and give you a payoff debt where you no longer have any debt. And now then at that point, you should convert to paying off the bills every month going forward.
Yeah, just use their algorithm to pay that off as fast as possible. If you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. You are listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. May we all know that nothing ain't cool.
Back. Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap. Nah, it's Daily Wrap. It's weeknights at 7, the Weekly Wrap. Just talking on break about the iHeartRadio. I was listening to this by Florida Georgia Line, May We All. Kind of still my favorite. I cycle through every few weeks, a new favorite song. And we're listening to it coming back from the break. But I was talking about Napster and told Angie, I said, you know, since I upgraded, I've got the iHeartRadio app unlimited, I guess is the version that I have. Pay a few bucks more a month, but I have like unlimited skips. I build my playlist, and if I hear a song I like, I just save it. And then, darn, I can, sometimes I get in this, well, I've got to hear this song five times, and I'll do, and you can do that on the iHeartRadio app. Used to, you couldn't do that. I like that stuff. But one thing I noticed is now it says powered by Napster. I don't know, the kids don't know who Napster is as far as back in the day, do they? Used to be a pirate ship that is now a cruise ship.
When I was a kid, Napster was the coolest thing in the world because you could go find any song that you could imagine in your head and some other pirate had put it up there and you can go download it.
Yeah, somebody already pirated it. Now you can pirate it.
Yeah, and the kids, it was amazing. You didn't used to have to go to the dark side of the web to pirate all your music. It was right there in front of your face with a program that you could just download and pirate your little heart out, and no one could stop you, and no one got in trouble, and no one got fined, and no one got arrested. It was the Wild West. Yeah, it was chaos.
The music industry, it took them a while to grasp what had just, it was such a giant change on what was coming. And I remember the app clearly because you could basically go see anybody that was online sharing. You could go in and see their song list or do a search for it, and you see all these places. Then you learn to look at the size of the file, gives you an idea of what's correct and how fast can you grab that file. It was some pretty neat stuff. But now it's a subscription-type service that enables like the partnership with iHeartRadio and Napster to do this cool stuff that I like about the app.
Yeah, and because it got so big and so popular, I mean, there were a lot of other Napster-like programs out there, but this was the big one. This was the McDonald's, like what McDonald's is a hamburger, Napster was to pirating music. And they basically wanted to make an example out of the founder and CEO, Sean Parker. And they said, listen, you're either going to go spend a whole lot of time in an orange jumpsuit, or you're going to start paying royalties in the from the on-demand forum. So that was really kind of a Hobson's choice there. He went legit.
It's turned out long-term to be the deal.
Now they're partnered with iHeartRadio, now that we knocked all the pirate stink off of him. And he handles the on-demand royalties because it's a different royalty schedule. And the laws behind this are fascinating. If you choose your own song on-demand, it's a more expensive royalty fee to provide you with that content than it is if you just say, I like this kind of music, and you're subjected to a playlist chosen by someone else or by an algorithm. That's what iHeartRadio used to do on its own. Now we do both because we've partnered with Napster. And it's one of those, what is it, $4 or $5 a month? It's so piddly.
I don't know. I think the first upgrade's like $6 and the other one's $12 or something
total,
like that.
Right, but it does everything. What you want to listen to live radio from 1,500 stations across the country?
Who else does this?
It does
nobody.
That. You want to listen to hundreds of podcasts, absolutely on demand, absolutely gratis from all these stations across the country? It does that. You want to have a playlist provided to you? You want to discover new music in genres that aren't on regular radio stations? You can do that. It does what Spotify does and Pandora does and all the live radio stations and all the podcasts and what Stitcher does in one app.
I'm loving it. Hey, let's see a couple numbers here. 3 years from now, the median projection made on December 14th of last year by the 10 members of the Federal Open Market Committee is that short-term Fed funds rate will be 2.9% by 12/31 of 2019, approximately 2.25 percentage points higher than its current target range of 0.5% to 0.75%.
So we're going to have
this is that prediction thing. And so that's where I'm throwing out some of these numbers, but that's what the Fed's prediction was.
When did liftoff start though? When did we start to climb out of the ultra low interest rate? It was December 15. So you mean to tell me it's going to take 4 years to get to 3%?
Well, they show expect 3 rate hikes this year. We predict that the first one has to go into this month, and then they dial it back thereafter. They slow the pace down for the subsequent years.
That's pathetic. It needs to go faster than that. By the time you have a 4-year tightening cycle, you should be higher than 3%. Give me a break. What's the standard? What should the rate be in a normal market environment?
4 or 5%
maybe, looking at the historical averages.
Yeah.
They're just not taking this serious. They don't want the easy money to stop. Nobody wants a recession. We act like a recession is the end of the world. It's almost like, remember when you were a kid and you thought a breakup was the end of the world? Now that you're whatever age you are, you look back and you're like, oh, God, best thing that happened was breaking up with that person, or I needed to break up with that person, or I didn't enjoy it at the time, but it was the right thing to do, and we're all better off for it. That's what recessions are. We got to break up with some of these companies.
Taking a break.
Yeah. We got to shed. Some of these jobs have got to go away. Some of these companies have got to go away. We got to trim the fat if you want to move forward. But no one wants to have a recession on their watch. I don't understand that. It's all politics. It gets ugly, Gregory.
We come back from the next break, and we'll give you a couple on Social Security.
All right. In our next resolution to build your wealth in 2017, we're going to talk about investing costs. How much should you be paying for your advisor? How much should you be paying on that mutual fund? Do you know what an A-share is? Do you know what a 12B1 fee? What fees are a decent deal to get from your registered financial advisor? If your advisor's too expensive, what do you do? You just fire him, or do you ask for new tools?
All those things you should talk about. Every situation's kind of different, you know, as far as RADV. I always tell people our fee ranges from 0 to a max of 1.5% on annualized basis. So it depends on what you're doing. Some stuff isn't going to be feed. Some stuff may be a half. Some may be 0.95. Some might be 1.5. It all is going to be 0 for a certain period of time because of transition. Every situation's different in what you're trying to do. One thing is you need full disclosure on all that stuff. And what I point out to people is you're going to know what the fee is because you're signing off on the fee. If the fee changes, you're signing off on that too. There's no surprise there. But you do want to keep fees down. It has to be part of that discussion so you know what it's costing you and what you need to make on this money.
Well, and from what I've seen you do for people, it's once you know what you're doing, once you know what you're looking for, you see things that the regular civilian can't. Something so easy as you look across a spread of a portfolio and you see one certain mutual fund, you can say, well, you know, there's an institutional class of that mutual fund that will just do much better in the fees. Or you could recharacterize that into a similar ETF, get the same effect, and wipe out most
and
of that fee.
And where somebody looks, oh, well, Gregory's fee's high. No, they're not. Majority of what we see, people are paying 2 to 3
for out their there advisor.
Well, the whole package, okay. The mutual funds, any trading costs, advisor fee or wrap fees on top of it that they don't really understand, they're paying quite a bit and don't realize it. That variable annuities, 3 to 4 as usual, can be higher. And you went, well, why would anybody do that? Yeah, I don't know, but they're not happy about it when they find out.
And like if you have access to a wholesaler, you get better deals than the guys who only can buy retail. And it works that way for mutual
funds.
Well,
wholesale is go out there and set your E-Trade account up. You're not getting any help. You're paying $7.95 fees. Well, that might be our fee, but our trading is a penny a share with a dollar minimum. Where else do you go get that? Not at E-Trade. And Fidelity's our custodian, but you can work with Fidelity on the retail side. What's your trade minimum? $7.95.
We'll talk about how just like a mutual fund can be an A-share version of a mutual fund, and you have access to an institutional version that's about the same thing, just
most
lower
everybody
cost.
Does, but some firms just like to sell the loaded ones. That's their business model. Like an A-share on an equity fund, maximum load is 5.75%. It's going to have a 12B1 fee that's probably typically a quarter percent.
You have to explain what both of those are.
12B1 fee is kind of a marketing fee, and the 5.75 is a sales load. I'll pick up, and we can talk a little more about this as we move through.
If you have any financial situations, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We'll continue with New Year's resolutions for your money next on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. You're listening to iHeartRadio.
I know everybody says money can't buy happiness, but it can buy me a boat. It can buy me a Yeti 110 ice down with some silver bullets. Yeah, and I know what they say. Money can't buy everything. Maybe so.
It can buy me a boat. Love that song. We played the stink off of that last year on this show, on the ins and outs. Let's see. By the way, this is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap with Gregory Ricks and James Parker. Horrible part-time singer, that's me. James, he's pretty musically inclined. If he don't know it, he reads a book and then knows it, right? It's kind of like what we do on about everything.
I can learn it. I can learn it. If it's an instrument, I can learn it. I'll figure it out.
Social Security. Is that going to change? Well, some way, some form, it's going to. Social Security trustees announced on June 22nd of last year that the trust fund backing the payment of Social Security benefits would be zero in 2035. Ouch! When the trustees released their report in 2003, the Social Security Trust Fund was projected to be depleted in 2042. Spend down's going faster. Somebody has to fix it at some point. Will Trump do it, or will it be the one that follows him? Plenty of time to kick the can down the road, though.
Oh, yeah. Look, they don't have to fix it. They just have to not have it collapse on their watch. Now, I did my part.
Know it's going to burn out before 2035 based on that trend.
I had four kids. I did my part. You know who's partially to blame
for
this?
They're just not working yet.
See over there? Angie? How many kids have you had?
That would be none.
Yeah, see, she's ruining Social Security.
See the upside-down pyramid? Mm. Not as many kicking in.
Because what's going to happen, if you don't start cranking out kids, you're going to be collecting checks, and you're not going to have anyone paying in the system to cover your butt. It's going to be my kids that are covering your
butt.
Thank you very much.
I'm helping with the population of the world.
No, that's not helping. We need more. No, we're not overpopulated. I love the overpopulation argument. The more people we have on this planet, the higher everyone's lifestyle is, more technological advances we have, life expectancy goes up, infant mortality goes down. The world gets better with more people, and you're not contributing to it.
Well, fine, I'll have to change that.
Yeah.
I guess.
When we get off work today, you need to go home, and you need to go start sassing Kenny and make it happen, all right?
All righty, then.
Okay.
Great. Glad we got that out the way. Sears, we're going to get back to that. You know, we don't have, we push Dwayne back a little bit?
Yeah, tell Dwayne we're taking it out.
It was just big news that we talked about last night. Craftsman Tools, I'm a big tools guy fan. You know, I've got a bunch of tools, don't use them much, no free time, but not complaining, but love me some Craftsman Tools. Might go buy some more here this weekend. I think price is fixing to go up. Because Sears is selling Craftsman Tools to Stanley Black & Decker. Later this year when it closes, Stanley is going to give Sears about $525 million. And then, 3 years from now, give them another $250 million, and Sears can still sell the tools over the next 15 years without a royalty fee. Sears figures it's going to bring in them about $1 billion. We already had an announcement that they're closing stores, like Oakwood Mall on the West Bank is losing their Sears store. That's right here in our community. And Sears and Kmart's kind of connected at the hip. Mm-hmm. One owns the other. And so Kmart's losing a location in Elmwood. And then we see the chairman, which is also a hedge fund manager, has loaned Sears $500 million to help fund them while they're doing a real estate deal, and they're looking to sell about $1 billion worth of property. Gosh, this company's bleeding money. So it's one of those prediction is going to be a, if you don't have, you can buy Craftsman tools anywhere else, and that, and distribution of that is going to be widened and become more profitable as a brand. And then why would you go to Sears? Because the only reason I went to Sears during the holidays was to go pick up some Craftsman tools. And it was just kind of dead in there. But otherwise, why would I go there?
Well, you have that level of brand loyalty with Craftsman, huh?
Yeah.
They're fine tools, but I think this is fascinating to watch because you're watching what it looks like when a gigantic corporation starts to wind itself down.
It's doing that.
Sort of the end of its life cycle. And I remember there was the big peak there sort of in the late 70s, early 80s. And you can go back on YouTube and watch, you know, like the Phil Donahue versus Milton Friedman where they're talking about the battle between the two giants. The young discount upstart Kmart and the old stodgy classy Sears, you know, that does everything. And, you know, who's going to buy each other out? And if these companies combine, it'll be a monopoly. They ain't even heard of Walmart.
You remember back in the day, Sears used to be the go-to store for about everything.
Everything.
And then Walmart replaced them there. And then Amazon has done that too. I wonder what they'll get for Die Hard Battery. That's a pretty big brand as well.
They're too late to save that one. I think the next, the biggest brand that as soon as they shed this, Sears is done. And that's Kenmore. That's a Sears brand. That's a Sears-specific brand. Once that's gone, you know it's the end of Sears.
Well, they are exploring how to get more out of those brands. That was in the article that I read that they're looking into that, too. So, yeah, I guess that's next.
And it's like if something ever happened to this company, you know, it wouldn't just go away. This station would still exist. It may have a different label slapped on the front door. But Sears isn't like that. Sears is just gone.
Right.
They don't have any assets that are going to outlive them other than maybe their brands. So that's kind of cool.
Well,
that
they will, their legacy is, guess who used to own Craftsman? Who used to own Die
Hard?
Exactly,
yeah.
Who used to have Kenmore? Really? Who were they? You can see that conversation 20 years from now.
Yeah, because you're still going to see Craftsman and Kenmore, but no Sears. That's pretty cool. Like it had little... I don't know, retail babies, kind of. I don't know who the mother is or the father, but we only have a short amount of time. All right, let's skip through some of our financial resolutions here and go to the estate planning part. We kind of touched on that when we talked to Wes Blanchard earlier, but some of the triggers on why you would need to reevaluate your estate plan.
First off, reevaluate beneficiaries. What's their life events? Do you need to update beneficiaries? Child birth, grandkid birth,
marriage, divorce,
marriage, either married or getting divorced.
And then your kids getting married,
changing,
or divorced,
changing jobs, or like, this is first I'm hearing about this. I had a number of events over the past 5 years. I've not done anything. Darn it. You need to go update the 401k beneficiaries, the life insurance, the annuities, IRAs, the bank account that's qualified, any of those things, you need to make sure that's updated. So this kind of, January is kind of that time to, if you don't do annual reviews and your advisor doesn't ask about this, it's kind of time to do that.
Yeah, and if you went out and you just got a will to get a will from a friend of a friend, and maybe you just need to get it reevaluated because you need a better will, because there's
events affect those.
I like the way you describe the dire consequences that can happen. I mean, I don't mean dire, significant consequences that can happen. If you change the language in a will, instead of leaving my assets split evenly among all my children versus naming them specifically, that affects the distributions
RMDs
they have
on
to take
inherited accounts. Yeah.
Well, explain that, because I didn't know.
You have to take yesterday. Required minimum distributions starting at 70 and a half. We won't get technically into, there's a little bit of movement there depending on your birth month, which year in which you take it and what the divisor is. But you have to start taking required minimum distributions, and your beneficiary should list a primary and you should list contingents. We let them get away with a little bit on the primary if they don't know contingents, but we're after them for that information, because if the primary's not there down the road and you didn't change it, the contingents, which typically are the kids, need to be listed by name. If you say all my naturally born children or whatever, and that's rare, but you're probably not going to be allowed to do that. We're going to name them individually, but if it's beneficiary as a group, the RMDs are based on the oldest child. If they're named by each name, they get their own inherited account and their own RMD table for taking those distributions, which can be multi-generational gifts you leave behind.
And if not, they just have to use the
oldest device.
Yeah, the oldest kiddo.
Yep.
All right, that's going to just about do it for the show today. I want you to remember our next live event, Gregory Ricks Live, next Thursday, January 19th, 6:30 p.m., Roost Chris in Metairie. If you're thinking that's kind of a long drive, hey, give us a call. Have a chat. See if it's worth your time. And we'd love to have you out. 504-832-9200 is the office phone number. If you didn't remember that, gregoryricks.com. Or really, you should go ahead and download the Gregory Ricks & Associates app. Thank you very much for your time. Remember the Daily Wrap coming up on this station, weekdays at 7. Stick around. Coming up next, Mortgage Gumbo with a member of the Total Wealth Authority, who also will be at our next live event, Dwayne Stein and co-host Angie Berlier. I'm James Parker. You've been listening to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
With Gregory Ricks is copyrighted by Gregory Ricks for the private use of our audience. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without express...